I'll let us read them. You open up the room with some prayers from the Quran. I think it won't be fair if you have Aki begin the session in prayer. He's a Christian.
No, I can open up the room with any prayers from the Quran. Someone just jumped up to the mic and did that. I don't have any prayers on them. I just want to share some blessings to be on the way.
All right, we came in here with some chronic recitation, which is awfully dangerous. So if I came in with that, don't you think it's only fair to begin the word plan?
Okay, go ahead, but I was just saying that, well, I didn't figure it out. Someone jumped in the mic and said, so go ahead and just read the Christian prayer, and then we'll go ahead and just pray.
Okay, can Muhammad Mujahid, can you please put your hand down? You're going to fight, and you're not part of this debate, so please remain to debate Islam. Please put your hand down, Brother Muhammad Mujahid, unless you want to get balanced. Please have to respect both debaters in here.
Thank you very much. Now, everyone, put your head in prayer with me here. Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your throne and we ask you to give us a blessing and edify Jesus within this debate. Heavenly Father, we ask that you please bless Sam, answer me in this debate. Give him the words of wisdom to uplift Jesus Christ, to edify his name and lift him up on high. We ask everyone in this room to be very, very respectful in this room. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to please bless everyone in here to hear these words that are about to be spoken in this room between these two debaters. We ask that you please bless everyone in this room. Please, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' holy name, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to everyone in this room right now. Send the Holy Spirit to them right now and just comfort them. In Jesus' holy name, we ask this. Amen.
So then, Islamic Brother, I think we're ready to begin. In about 10, 15, why don't you invite me to the mic, and then I can go ahead and start my 25-minute presentation. I think everyone knows, or the moderators know, what is the time allocation for each speaker. So let's go ahead and get started.
Okay, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. Let us reason. Would you have to come to the mic and pass it from to your 25 minutes, please? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rahim. The debate is going on right now. We've got 2 seconds between us and Islam. Please come to the mic, inshallah.
Okay, I'm having a
little
technical problem.
Which is the first debate, so I'd like to take the opportunity to ask, what's going on with AD 1973 and this Dane 52? The commander from people might have seen and asked, what's going on, what's the deal with these two brothers?
I don't know which two brothers you're talking about. I know that AD 1973 will be posting the verses for me. Hakitown is an admin. You said another brother. I don't know who the other brother is, to be honest with you. I just know AD 1973 will be accounting posting verses for me.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah bil alameen. Brother, let us reason with Ahmed. Please stop for 25 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's date. The subject of today's discussion is what the Bible, or what the Quran has to say about the Bible. Now, I'd like to begin by stating that what Muslims believe in regards to what the Quran says about the Bible. These Muslims believe the Bible is the Word of God, and that it was a revelation given from God to the Prophet. But it has been changed and it has been corrupted throughout the ages. God is producing many verses and proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah which substantiate that point. Now, my opponent in that Prophet Shimon, on the other hand, believes that the Quran states the Bible is the uncorrupted pure Word of God. And by holding this position, he hopes that he can convince Muslims not to challenge the integrity of the Bible and accept it as a full Sunni scripture. But then I will also be moving to refute many of the points made by Saint Shimon. For joining me tonight, really all I need to do tonight is simply state simply refute Saint Shimon on his feet. Because it is not important for me tonight to show people that the Quran claims that the Bible is corrupt. Because it is enough to simply hold the position that a neutral position, either corrupt or corrupt. You can see that your leaders figure it out for themselves. But that in itself will refute many of the claims made by ancient Islam. But nevertheless, the Quran does say that the Bible has been corrupted, and I will be producing those verses. The corruption comes in two forms. The first form is by corrupting the actual text itself. For example, reading two books, book A and book B. Book A is the literal word of God. And you see that in book A it says that Jack went up to hell. But when book B is actually a copy of book A, so what I write down in book B, I write Jack went down the hill. So what I have done is that I have corrupted the word. Instead of up, I look down. Another way you can corrupt text is by corrupting it by your interpretation. Going back to the same example, in book A, it says Jack went up the hill. But my interpretation of that is Jack went to a higher understanding of truth. That's what reverse means. So then what I write down inside book B is my corrupt interpretation, which is Jack went to a higher understanding of knowledge, of truth, excuse me. I don't write the Jack went up the hill, which is the book A of K. And the K disappears, and all we are left with is book B. So these are the two ways of how the Bible, or how any scripture can be corrupted. It's corrupted by interpretation, as well as corrupting the very word itself. So let me show you some verses from the Quran, which clearly speak about the Bible being corrupted. Chapter 2, verse 79, it says over there, and this whole passage actually is talking about the Jews from the very beginning, from the verses onward. It's chastising the Jews on and on, and it says, but he works up to those who write the book with their own hands, and then say, this is from Allah, he takes it with a little price. Go to them for what their hands have written, and go to them for what they have earned thereby. Now, the book here is referring to the book given to Moses. Let me read a little bit on page 1 and from chapter 2, verse 87. It says, and indeed he gave Moses the book, followed him up with petitions and messengers. So here is a clear, explicit verse which talks about the corruption of the Jewish scriptures. Now let's go and see what the early Muslims believed about chapter 2, verse 89. We go to the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. These are the authoritative interpretations of the Quran from the early Muslims. Here is what he used to see. Ibn Wahab said that Ibn Ziyad commented that they used to hear the word of Allah, the Torah, and they used to change it. The author of the Torah is Allah revealed to them, making it say that the lawful is unlawful and the prohibited is allowed. And that what is right is false, and what is false is right. So here we have a clear statement from the source saying that the tampered and changed the Torah. And you will find the same view held by other Tafsir writers, whether it's Qurtubi, Al-Tabri, Yunusi and her Zawri. In fact, almost all the seers of early Islam show that the Bible in verse 279 has been copied. So when you have all these Tafsir literature, Qurtubi and Tafsir and Qurtubi and Tafsir, this shows that this is the consensus view of the early Muslims. That is what they believe from the companions on downward. Now, even if you read in Al-Baghawi in a Siddiqui, they go on to state even more that the Jews corrupted the Torah in the very prophecies of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So we even go on and state that. And then going on the verse, chapter 2, verse 69, it says, but those who did wrong changed the words from the right, which had been given to them for another. Al-Bukhari recorded that Abu Hurairah said to the Prophet, they were told to say Hitta when entering the door, but they changed the word to Hitta, which is a complete different meaning. Let's go on and take a look at another verse which talks about the corruption of the Christian scriptures. It says in chapter 4, verse 157, and because of their saying, we killed Messiah Isa, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but he killed him not, nor crucified him, but the resemblance of Jesus is put over another man. Now, let me ask a question. What is it which teaches the Christians that Jesus is crucified? Any third grader can answer that. It is the Bible. That is what the Christians do to justify their belief on crucifixion. Now let me continue with a verse. And those who differ herein are full of doubt. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture. Again, I ask the question. What is it that the Christians follow which teaches them that Jesus was crucified? There can be no doubt about it that the Christians follow the Bible. That's what teaches them. And look at the Quran says, they follow nothing but conjecture. And conjecture is a form of corruption even sanctimonial is based upon them. Can you also read this verse as saying they follow nothing but corruption? Of course. And look what the verse says above. And those who believe in him are full of doubt. They have no certain knowledge. People who believe in crucifixion have no certain knowledge. But we all know that they have the Bible in their hand. And this is not only talking about the Bible, but this is talking about all the Christians who believe in the Bible, as well as the very Bible authors themselves. Therefore, not only do we find a clear charge of Bible corruption in this verse, but we also find a sweeping indictment of all the Bible authors and all the people who follow them. The verse is clearly speaking of Bible corruption, and that conclusion is inescapable from this verse. There is no way that the Bible can escape this indictment. And if I am wrong, I shall then sanction in this company. No. The Bible is actually exempt from this verse. I would like to see that. Therefore, what we see here is that the Quran is clearly accusing the New Testament of corruption. And as it is in its own little sweet way, there's more than one way to get it here, and that's the reason we learn from it. There's more than one way to convey a message in your book is wrong. Now, moving on, it's in chapter 48, verse 29. The Quran presents an acid test. This is a test to show if the Bible has been corrupted or not. It says over there, in chapter 48, verse 29, that their description of the Injil and the Gospel is like a sown seed which comes forth to shoot. God makes it strong, then it becomes thick, and it stands straight on its stem, guiding the soul that he may enrage the disbelievers in. So what the Quran here is saying is this verse is supposed to be in the Injil. So an uncorrupt Bible is supposed to have this verse. So I would like King Shimon to come up and show me where this verse is in the Bible. The Quran said this is supposed to be in the Injil, which is, of course, the revelation given to Jesus. And I don't think he will be able to find it. The closest you're going to find is in Mark 27. Okay, chapter 4, verse 27. And that is the gift. It's not the same. And when you send on Saint Shimon, read the verse, you'll see this is not the same. Therefore, we see that the Bible fails this acid test of the Quran, leaving the reader with no other conclusion other than the evil has been corrupt. So with this example alone, I don't know if anyone is the least bit of intellectual honesty that can come out in the Bible claims before I'm saying that the Bible is uncorrupt. This is a myth that should be propagated all over the internet. Now let's go to the hadith and look at some evidences from the hadith. In Bukhari, Kitabu Tawheed, remember this chapter, Kitabu Tawheed, volume 9, book number 93, number 614. Then Ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas said, O group of Muslims, how can you ask the people of the scripture about anything while your book, which Allah has revealed to you, or to your prophet, contains the most recent news from Allah and secure and not destroyed. Allah has told you that the people of the scripture have changed some of Allah's books and distorted it and wrote something with their own hands and said this is from Allah so as to have a minor gain for it. This is another illusion to chapter 2 of the student verse we can get you, which is those who write the book with their own hands. So we see from this one hadith very clear and explicit condemnation of the Bible that the people changed it. Now we go to volume 9, book 92, number 460. The people of the city read the Torah in Hebrew and they explain it in Arabic to the Muslims. Allah the Apostle said to the Muslims, do not believe in the people of the book, we are disbelieving them. But we believe in Allah and whatever is revealed to us and whatever is revealed to you. So we are supposed to simply believe in what was revealed to you. We can't confirm or deny what they're saying from the New Testament. I'm asking why. If the New Testament was 100% pure word of God, why should Rasulullah give us this strong warning? But here we see another clear proof that the Bible, which is in the hands of the Christians, this book is corrupt. Now, let me move on to Now I want to move on to refuting some of the claims made by Sam Shimon. Let me start off by saying some of the factual errors which Sam Shimon has made in some different articles in Islam. This is what he said in Shabir Ali. He said, all the early Muslims believed that the Bible was the uncorrupt word of God. This is what he said in that debate. All say that the Bible has been corrupted. So this is a false statement. There's no basis for such an argument. He said Muslims, and this is an artist in his article, he said Muslims who agree the Bible is incorrupt are people like Ibn Abbas. This is false. I quoted you from Abbas. Ali Tabari, no, this is false. I pointed out that the fear of chapter 2, verse 29, clearly states that the Bible has been corrupted. And he said Ibn Taymiyyah holds this view. No, this is wrong. Ibn Taymiyyah never said this. And then he quoted people like Mahmoud Ayyub and people like Muhammad Abdul, he didn't know about you, he didn't care about Timothy. These are all factual errors made by him. He also said that we must also point out the idea of the Bible being copied, the first one by Ibn Khazin in 1064 AD. This is Bologna. Again, the same answer as I gave above. Go to Ibn Khazin, go to those different references, and you will see that they are talking about the Bible being corrupted. Ibn Abbas said that to you. So what is, there's no basis for such a statement. Now, Sam Shimon, of course, on this internet and talking with his Christian friends, has been promoting the view that the Bible is the incorrupt word of God, the pure word of God. In fact, on July 1st, here on Talk, including an audience of Orthodox Christians and Jews, he was seeking some help on Jeremiah 18. This is what Sam said. I don't believe that anyone can trust the Bible. He said it was a pure word of God. And he believed the Orthodox Jews in this belief of the Old Testament was a 100% pure word of God, which is pretty much most evangelical Christians believe in, basically reassuring them of their faith. And now, ladies and gentlemen, prepare for the shock. I say, prepare for the shock. Because when Ben Shimon is confronted with biblical scholars or qualified teachers of the Bible, this is what Sam Shimon has to say about the uncorrupt, pure Word of God.
Five of the miracles which no document of antiquity has come down seriously without question. But the Bible is superior in that it has broken the manuscript where we can see what he brings to sleep. It's all correct.
So we see here, he says, no manuscript has come down very intense. And in the Bible, we can find the corruption in there. We know where it is. And then, by the way, the book of Quran is the same way. But by the way, that's going to lead to the next debate, in which, inshallah, I will debate him on the authenticity of the Quran, and I will prove that the Quran is 100% authentic, inshallah. So, Sam Shimon has to come clean tonight. He has to tell us, what do you believe about the Bible? Do you believe it's not uncorrupt? And then we can go from there. Now, let me now get off the topic of factual errors. Now let me move on to false evidences used by Sam Shimon. Now, when we read the Hadith literature, you are going to find a lot of different stuff there. For example, you're going to find stuff about statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're going to find statements of companions, statements of historians, statements of talk on the street of people who saying. Then you'll find true hadiths and false hadiths. So my point is, the hadith literature is a conglomeration of a lot of different stuff. And you kind of have to sift through it and find out what's legitimate and what's not legitimate. One of the things you can find inside the hadith literature is something called Israeliyat. And what Israeli are basically sayings and traditions which originated with Jewish and Christian traditions, but did not originate with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the people who was very famous for narrating the Israeli acts was a man named Wahab bin Munabbih, and it's included in many places that he had been narrating a lot of the Israeli acts. He needs to understand that he lived in Yemen. And Yemen at that time was a place where the Jews and the Christians used to reside. He himself never actually met the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now he has a saying in which he says, "The Torah and the Injil remained with Allah revealed, and no letter in them was removed. However, the people misguided others with traditional and false interpretation." He goes on. Now, it should come as no surprise that Ben Shimon has been using this and debating these pieces of evidence. And you know what he called this? Early Islamic sources. Early Muslims believe the Bible was God. Quoting Israeliyat, I guess. He didn't tell you that he's quoting Israeliyat, even though that has been clearly identified inside the Hadith literature. And that, when I see stuff like that, that is what prompted me to challenge King Shimon for the because he says false evidence. Let's go on and take a look at another example. Inside Bukhari, again, bringing back to the book I told you, remember Kitab al-Tawhid. Over there, not in the text, but somebody wrote in the footnotes. This is not in the text, but in the footnotes, about the Sibian Masusi, that they corrupt the word meaning, they alter or change its meaning, that no one is able to change even a single word from any book of God. Again, I really don't have a lot of problem with this, because I told you, what can be corrupted by two means. By your false interpretation, where, like I think on this day it says Jack went up the hill, so you think it's Jack who went to a higher understanding of knowledge, and that's what you write down in the copy, your interpretation. But still, you cannot use this as evidence, because this is not an actual hadith. This is a comment and saying in a footnote. This is not in the text. And we don't even know where this hadith came from. Who narrated it? But when we go to the book Kitab al-Tawhid, what do we find here? We do find the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas about this subject. And that was a hadith that I just narrated to you, in which he said that, and let me read it to you again. he stated that married by Ubaydullah bin Abdullah and many other people, all the group of Muslims, how can you ask the people of the scripture of anything? Your group, which Allah has revealed in the Prophet, contains the most recent news from Allah and is pure and not distorted. Allah has told you that the people of the scripture have changed some of Allah's books and distorted it. And write something with your own hand and so this is from Allah. So I said, why is it? This is not what is written in the footnotes. That is what is written in the text. And this is the authentic hadith, and we have many other authentic hadiths like this. So what we find here in the footnote, we can't even call it a hadith. For me to say it's a false hadith would be misrepresentation, because it's not even a hadith. It's just someone's personal comment, which we wrote in the footnote. So again, he has used some of these evidences as proof to show to prove his case. So I believe that's pretty much all I have. I need to go first today. I'm insisting I go first. What I will do is I will, and the next time I come up, which I believe is 15 minutes, I will respond to many of the claims made by Sam Shimon trying to prove that the Bible, the Quran states the Bible is the untouched Word of God. So with that, I turn the mic over to the moderator.
I must say, Nadi Ahmed, you shortened your 25 minutes to 21 minutes. It's only 50 or 4 minutes. You can thank him if not. I'd like to as a debater answering Islam, Sunnah, Shulun, to come tonight, inshallah. Okay, through my.
Okay, before I begin, is everything clear? Coming in clear? Is that everything coming in clear? If I do. When the moderator tells me to begin, I can begin by the grace of God. AD, are you ready?
Okay, there was really kingdom like anything in Islam. Anything tablet, inshallah.
Okay. Now, AD, are you ready? I just want to know, are you ready? Okay. Just before, hold on, brother. I just want to make sure he's ready. I'm sorry, but hold on. Okay, can I begin, brother? Can you put a 1 in the text? I can begin. This is going to be easier than I thought. All right. Can you put a 1? Okay, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me preface some comments here before I, you know, get into the evidence of why the first Muslims believe this is in the Bible Quran. Again, hold on a second. Someone said, these red dots. Please, no PM. My view of the Quran and the early Islamic traditions is that it's a record of what the first Muslims believe. It's not a divine record or inspired record. It's simply a record that tells me what the first Muslims believe regarding certain issues between Allah. So therefore, when, just read and quote chapter 4, verse 157. That proof that the Bible speaks because the Quran denies its position. That's actually begging the Quran. He assumes the Quran is the Word of God and therefore proceeds to attack the Bible based on that assumption. When, in fact, because the Quran supports the Bible, that means when the Quran contradicts the Bible, the Quran is wrong. Muhammad bin Munabba was not a companion of Muhammad.
Okay, but what is this problem? You might have taken it.
Sam, You're breaking up here. You're lagging really bad. I'm not sure if you're getting pop-ups or not. You're probably getting a pop-up. Try again, okay?
All right, hold on. Okay, go ahead, another season.
Yes, and you're breaking up real bad. All I just want to say is that, you know, if it continues, I want to give you as much time as you want, because I want to respond to you. So, you know, if it continues, then we'll just throw out the time. So, we'll go to the mic.
I can't hear you. We're having problems. Okay, we're coming to click.
You were coming in clear for a little while, and then you say to me you're lagging really bad. Try again, will you? If not, if you're lagging, you may want to close down the program team or something and then come back.
Hello? Am I coming in, guys? I don't know what's going on. My computer's freezing here.
If I could offer a sort of a solution here, since not his mic working, what he can do is he could type, and he could have prepared touchy town read it when he types. And then, you know, we don't have to have like a time limit or something like that. It's given like 30 minutes or something like that. Because I really want to make sure that this is in his head. I don't want to, you know, have some abortion to the technical problem. So, I mean, this is an idea in terms of meeting is doable.
Answering Islam, close down the program, come back, okay? Close down the program and come back and try again, okay? Can you hear? Answering Islam, if you can hear me, please come forward and talk. If not, let me see anything here. Hang on a minute.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulillah. We're still on the topic, is the Quran, answering some of some technical difficulties, please bear with the brother. I'm sure he will reboot his PC or something, inshallah. He'll be coming back next soon. asking folks who's still in the debate, for the latest reason, maybe I haven't had it 25 minutes already finished. We got into 25 minutes of answering Islam, answering time. Sam Shum was having some technical difficulties. He will be leaving his PC and coming back to the microphone soon, inshallah. So those who are listening and just get the guests in the room, please join us.
Just so the other admins in the room here, let us read in advance. If he can't get his sound up and going here, I'm sure he would mind to say he's probably want to do this another day, maybe tomorrow or Saturday, whatever day this is. If he can't get it going, he's not going to want me to speak for him. So just a little information for him. I already know that's going to happen. If he can't get his sound going, that is. So hopefully he'll return soon.
No, I won't accept that. We scheduled the debate for today.
I'm sorry about the mic. The thing is that I'm sorry, I won't speak, and I warn you, please make sure the microphone is working. So we're not going to do it that way. If he cannot get his microphone down, he's not going to run away. We're going to continue this debate. So I want to make sure that's very clear. You can type, and somebody can read after him, and we won't put a time on him. That is the way we will do it. That's not fair.
For this reason, you're setting the cry over spilled milk. I just explained to you that answering Islam will want to speak for himself. If the debate wasn't set up where both mics will be, if there's a problem here, obviously this will be taken care of very soon. So, he'll be back very soon. Matter of fact, there he is. Come on up, answer me, Islam.
Yeah, in fact, every one of his points, I've already addressed him in my paper without even hearing his presentation. So I'm excited to receive him here in front of Muslims. Is my sound coming in clearly? The Lord has delivered his guidance to my hand. Is my sound coming in clearly?
Oops, sorry. AI, yes, you're coming in good. Sorry about that.
Okay, if it's coming in good, can I begin? Because I want to show these weak points and the false accusations. I'm going to show that he's misquoted and misinterpreted his own sources and actually went too far to lie to the Muslims. All right, praise the Lord Jesus, I begin. Let me know when I start picking up. Okay, again, I need you to do me a favor. I want you to go to the first section of my paper, where it says, number one, the Quran presumes that the previous revelation was available during Muhammad's time. You're going to find there a commentary by Ibn Kathir on Surah 378. You should find it. I want you to post it here because this reason try to make light of the fact of an alleged footnote in Bukhari as if that's not significant for the debate. But I'm going to show him what Ibn Kathir said about that alleged footnote. Again, he tries to relegate it to a footnote. Let's see what he says. Do me a favor, quote it there for me so that everyone can see it. I'm going to read. This is Ibn Kathir, the very one that has reason by the people. By the way, Ibn Kathir does not believe that the scripture was intact, but that's irrespective of what the first Muslims believed. This is his commentary, and I'm going to read it. And again, excuse my mispronunciation in Arabic. Mujahid al-Shabi al-Hassan Qatada and Rabi bin Anas say that who distort the book with their tongues means they also Allah's word. Now I'm going to read the part which let us reason try to just brush aside. Where did this footnote from Bukhari come from? Someone or Bukhari himself? This is what Ibn Abbas Ibn Kathir says. Al Bukhari reported that Ibn Abbas said that the iron means they alter and add. There will none among your creation to remove the words of Allah from his books. Now, this isn't Kassir's comment. He said, and Bukhari said this is the last thing. So let's reason, try to pull a fast one in front of the audience and say, oh, just the footnote, you don't know where it comes from. In point of fact, it comes from Bukhari, claiming that this comes from Ibn Abbas. Now, address is appeal to Ibn Abbas' statement regarding the alleged impurity of the text. I've already written the response to that. And as you read the rest of the quotation, the reason why let us read and try to attack Wahab bin Munabba is because Wahab bin Munabba produces evidence from the earliest Muslims, the Sahabi being Ibn Abbas, and then their followers, that the first Muslims did not believe in the corruption of Scripture. He says the Torah and Injil remain as Allah revealed them, and no letter in them was removed. Now, I want to make a comment here. He tried to brush aside Wahab bin Munabba by appealing to the so-called Ismailiyya literature. Little did he realize that other Muslims have come to the defense of Wahab bin Munabba and said that although there were Jews who introduced false traditions, Wahab bin Munabba was not one of them. And I allude to Islamic Awareness's website, where they wrote a response to me trying to defend the integrity of Wahab bin Munabba and Qasim Ahbar. So, let us reason his opinion is in the minority, not supported by other Muslims. Now, he tried to appeal to Surah 279, as if Surah 279 established his case. Lady, do me a favor. I want you to go to Section 5 of the paper. Section 5, you'll see I have some of the many common objections presented by Muslims in seeking to undermine what the Quran and first traditions say about the Bible. Go to Section 5, look for subcategory 2 on Surah 2, 79. When you get there, you let me know, because here's what it says. This is what it says. That's when you hear from me, please. You will find that if you read the context of Surah 2, 79, beginning with 75 to 79, you will see that whatever book you are falsifying, it did not refer to the text or the gospel. Now, why do I say that? I'm waiting for him to post the text. You see, from Surah 2, 75 to 79, here is the context that letter Jesus conveniently ignored. Go ahead, ABC, I'm waiting for you to post it for the sake of time. And please let me know how I'm doing on time. Here you'll see, again, AD is quoting the wrong text. I'm sorry. We're having a lot of difficulties, and I guess our communication is not doing that well either. If you go to Section 5, you'll see in subcategory 2, I quote Surah 279. This is what this reason quoted. So woe to those who write the book with their hands, and then they say, this is from Allah, that they may sell it for a little price. So woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for their earnings. Now let's read the context. Now here is the context. If you, O men of faith, still earnestly desire that they will believe in you, and verily, a party, not all of them, verily, a party among them hear the word of God, and they pervert it knowingly after they have understood it. And when they meet the believers, they say, we believe. When they meet each other, they say, why do you tell them what God has revealed to you in the Torah that they may engage you in argument about it before their God? What? Do you not understand? Do they not know that God knows what they conceal and what they make public? Among them, and here's the key verse 78. Among them are unlettered folk, ummiyun, unlettered folk who know the Scripture not except from hearsay, they but guess. Now, follow 79. So woe to those who write the book with their hands and then say, this is from Allah, that they may sell it for a little price. In other words, in the context, the people that are being rebuked are people who did not know the Scripture, except from hearsay. So whatever they wrote was something distinct from the Torah and the Gospel, has nothing to do with the integrity of the Torah and the Gospel. In point of fact, even if this reason was correct, even if he was correct, this means say that all the Jews are corrupting the text by a certain party. Because the same Quran testifies there were other Jews and Christians who would not pervert or sell the revelation of God. Chapter 3, verse 199. Maybe please quote that for me. Chapter 3, verse 199. Quote it for me again. See what it says. And there are certainly among the people of the book, those who believe in God, and that which has been revealed to you, and that which has been revealed to them, bowing in humility to God, they will not sell the signs of God from his miserable gain. For them is the reward with their Lord, and God is an account. It's chapter 3, verse 199 of the cross. So here the same cross comes and says there's a group of Jews and Christians who believe in Revelation and will not sell it. So even if Surah 279 will show that group corrupted the text, that doesn't say all of them didn't. In point of fact, there are a group of them who will not sell the signs of Allah. And this is stated in Surah 379. Surah 3, verse 79. It is not for a man to whom is given the book and wisdom and prophecy that he should then say to people, be worshippers of me in place of God. But rather, be true teachers since you teach the book and study it earnestly. My question to Let Us Reason is, what book were they studying? What book were they teaching? And why is it that this book is presumed to be intact? Your appeal to Surah 279 didn't prove or supported your position. Saidi, do me a favor. Go back to the top of the first section of the article and do me a favor and quote Surah 5, verse 12 to 15. Because I'm going to use that as the base of my argument for the remainder of the time. By the grace of God, I will try to speak to refute every one of the points and allegations against me. Chapter 5, verse 12 to 15. This is often quoted as if, it supports Bible corruption. And here's what the passage says. It says that Allah made a covenant of old with the children of Israel and raised among them 12 chieftains, and Allah said, Lord, I'm with you. If you establish worship and pay the poor and believe in my messengers and support them, and give to Allah a timely loan, surely I shall remit your sins, and surely I will bring you into gardens underneath which rivers flow. And it goes on and says that they change words from their context and forget a part of that as they were admonished. Thou wilt not cease to discover treachery from all save a few of them, but bear with them and pardon them. Then it says to the Christians, he made a covenant, but they forgot a part of that wherewith they were admonished. Now this is also appealed by certain Muslims in Bible corruption. But let's note number one. Changing words from their context as even Let Us Reason doesn't necessarily mean they changed the text. It can refer to its interpretation. In fact, elsewhere, again in the Quran, Surah 3, verse 113 and 14, it speaks of the people who are upright, and this is what it says. Not all of them are alike. Some of the people in the book are an upright people. They recite their signs or verses of God in the ninth season, and they bow down to worship Him. They believe in God and the last day, they command what is just and forbid what is wrong, and they hate sin and good works, and they are of the righteous. So even if a group perverted the text, and in the context of the first misinterpretation, it doesn't undermine the entire group as a whole, because the Quran confirms there were Jews and Christians who didn't sell the sign, who recited the book as it was intended. Surah 7, verse 159, and Surah 7, 169 to 170. Surah 7, verse 159, Surah 7, 169 to 170 says this, for the people of Moses, there is a section who guides in justice and light of the truth. Now notice, there's a section who guides in light of the truth. And it says they inherited the book. Notice they inherited the book. What book did they inherit? Who was this section from the people of Moses? And it goes on to say, it was not the covenant of the book taken from them, that they would not ascribe to Allah anything but the truth. And they study what is in the book. What book were they studying? What book was in their possession? Who was this group that was righteous and upright and did not pervert the word of God? In fact, since my colleague Ibn Kathir, here is Ibn Kathir's commentary on Surah 5, verse 15 to 15. And this is essential because Ibn Kathir shows that the word means misinterpretation, not corruption, to the text. And he says this in the first part. When Allah informs us of the punishment He inflicted upon them when they violated His covenant, Allah says, because of their breach of the covenant, I curse them. That is because they broke their pact. Allah stopped them from His guidance and made their hearts grow hard so that they will not accept their guilt. The verse, they changed the words from the context, means that they misinterpret the verses of Allah. Notice that Ibn Kathir says that this passage only establishes misinterpretation and not sexual corruption. Now, maybe do me a favor. Turn to the next page and quote Sahih al-Bukhari, the very citation that this reason sought to undermine by saying it was only a footnote. On the contrary, according to Ibn Kathir, this was Bukhari's statement on what Ibn Abbas said. And you'll see that I quote Bukhari from Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Tuhid. And it says, they come up, means they alter or change its meaning. Yet no one is able to change even a single word from any book of God. The meaning is that they interpret the word wrongly. This is from Bukhari commenting on what Ibn Abbas says. Not just a footnote, but let us read and try to brush aside. Now the next one. In Sunan Abu Dawud, Book 38, Number 44, Verse 34, this is what we are told. This is what we are told. Narrating Abdullah ibn Umar, a group of Jews invited the Apostle to come to Allah and visited them in their school. And then they asked him about fornication regarding a man and a woman. So they asked him for his judgment, and this is what he said. He says, bring the Torah. It was then brought. He then withdrew the cushion from beneath him and placed it upon it, saying, I believe in thee, and in whom? Who revealed thee? Here's my question, let us reason. What Torah was in his hand? What Torah did he confirm that he believed in? What Torah did he put on the cushion? This is from Sunan Abu Dawud, the very Abu Dawud you try to quote to prove otherwise, which I will be addressing in the rebuttal. And the next one, Ibn Kathir, commenting on this very hadith. And he says, they arranged the pillow for the Messenger of Allah, and he sat on it and said, bring the Torah to me. He was brought the Torah, he removed the pillow from underneath him, and placed the Torah on it, saying, I trust in you and he who revealed you. He who revealed it to you. Now this is Muhammad's words again from Ibn Kathir. Now notice what Ibn Kathir says. These hadiths state that the Messenger of Allah issued a decision that conforms with the ruling of the Torah, not to honor the Jews in what they believe, for the Jews were commanded to follow the law of Muhammad. But now notice what Ibn Kathir said. Rather, the Prophet did this because Allah commanded him to do so. According to Ibn Kathir, Muhammad was commanded by Allah to follow the Torah in his possession as far as this ruling concerning stoning is concerned. Why is it that Muhammad fails to mention that the Torah was corrupt? Why does he say this? Why does Allah command him to follow its injunction regarding what he says about adultery and fornication? Now, indeed, here again I quote Surah 5, verse 43 to 45. Surah 5, verse 43 to 45. And it says this, but why do they come to thee for decision when they have, notice, they have their own Torah before them. Therein is the plain command of Allah. Notice that the Torah in the possession of Muhammad at this time had the commands of God and was considered one of God. It was not a test, for to them was entrusted the protection of Allah's work, and they were witnesses thereto. Therefore, fear not men, but fear me, and spare not my signs for a reasonable price. If those who fail to judge by the light of what Allah has revealed, they are unbelievers. And it goes on to say that if any judge fail to judge by what Allah has revealed, they are wrongdoers. Like Christianity, what Torah was available? What Torah was being passed having the guidance and the command of Allah? What Torah was in the possession of the Jews in Muhammad's time? And going to Surah 5, verse 46 to 47. And in their footsteps, we send Jesus, the Son of Mary, confirming the Torah that came before him. What was that Torah that came before him? What was he confirming? What was its content? What did it look like? He sent him the gospel. Therein is guidance and life and confirmation of the Torah that had come before him. A guidance and admonition to those who fear Allah. Let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah has revealed therein in sight. If any do fail to judge by the light of what Allah has revealed, They are no better than those who rebel. Again, my question. What was the Torah available to Jesus? What was the Torah available to Muhammad? What was the gospel that the followers of the Zohar in Muhammad's time were commanded to observe, and if they failed, they were considered rebels? That's really a fair idea. Quote Ibn Kathir's commentary on Surah 3, 48 to 15. Surah 3, 48 to 15 speaks Ibn Kathir. Look at his commentary. The Torah and the Injil, speaking of Jesus confirming the Torah and speaking the Injil, says, the Torah is the book that Allah sent down to Musa, son of Ibrahim Imran, or the Injil that Allah sent down to Esau, son of Miriam, peace be upon them. And Esau memorized both books. What books did he memorize? What was the Torah that he had available, that he memorized, that he confirmed as true? And what was the Torah available during the time of Muhammad? He goes on to say, if you believe that I've seen some confirming passages before me of the Torah, affirming the Torah and holding it. Again, what is that Torah that the Torah is given to as being available during the time of Jesus and as well as Muhammad's time? Surah 2, 44. Surah 2, 44. What? Do you enjoin them to be good and admit your own souls while you read the book? What book are they reading during the time of Muhammad? This is Surah 2, 44. What is the book that they are reading? Have you then no sense? Now, Ibn Kathir says, and you read Allah's book, the Torah, and know its promises to those who do not fulfill Allah's commandments. What was the book that Ibn Kathir says they were reading in the time of Muhammad, and that they knew its promises? What is it? And then he goes on to say, while you recite the scripture, the Torah, have you then no sense? You forget the people projecting the prophet in the covenant that you have mentioned with you in the Torah. What's called the Torah? Again, Surah 2, 89. Surah 2, 89. And when there cometh unto them a scripture from Allah, confirming that in their possession, what was in their possession? Ibn Kathir tells us. Confirming what is with them, meaning the Torah. What Torah? What did they have in their possession? Why is it not being condemned for being corrupted? And then he goes on to say, O Allah, son the prophet that we read about in the Torah, they had it in their possession. In Surah 2.113, I have a lot more to say, and a lot more to say. Surah 2.113, the Jews say, the Christians are not founded upon anything, and the Christians say, the Jews are not founded upon anything, and yet they read the book, the Kitab. Now notice here what Ibn Ishaq says, the meaning of this verse is, and why it was supposedly sent down. Now here's the reason why it was supposedly sent down. When the Christians and the Jews came to the apostle, the Jewish rabbi said to them, right, you have nothing to stand on. And they denied Jesus and the gospel. And the Christians said to the Jews, you have nothing to stand on. And they denied Moses, who was the prophet, died the prophet. So God sent down concerning them this very verse. And then it says this, verses. Each one reads in his book the confirmation of what he denied. So that the Jews deny Jesus, though they have the Torah. So the Jews have the Torah in their possession during the time of Muhammad, in which God required them by the word of Moses to hold Jesus true. But in the gospel, which Jesus brought in confirmation of Moses and the Torah he brought from God, so each one denies what is in the hand of the other. These verses all presume that the Torah and the gospel were available in unfulfilled form. I put the book of Abbas, Bukhari commenting on Ibn Abbas' comment that the books were uncrossed and remained intact. I have a minute left. Come again. Let me quote another verse. Chapter 2, verse 121, says this. And I'm sorry, because I had so much technical difficulties, I'm trying to cram a lot of information. Chapter 2, verse 121 says this. Those whom we have given the book, study it as it should be studied. They are the ones that we need to. Now here's Al-Zamakhshari's commentary. Zamakhshari says that this verse means they whom we have given the scriptures are the faithful among the book, the people of the book, who recite the scriptures in their true recitation, neither altering nor changing them. My time is up. In the rebuttal period, I'll address the rest of the points. I apologize for going out over time. God bless.
Okay, thank you very much, Captain Islam San Shimon. The last reason, are you ready? Are you ready? 15 minutes? Please put your hand. if you really have a good reason, put your hand and everything that's going on. Okay, take the mic off.
Sorry about that. Is this better now? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I said it'd be very easy to respond to many of your rankings and ratings. You know, you quoted getting fear. But you know, here's what Eddie Fear says that they quote the interpretation, and here's where Eddie Fear says the book is pretty good. But did you also admit to me, did you admit it in front of this entire audience of 73 people? You are the Bible of Jesus, and that the Bible is corrupted. Do yourself admit that. And yet, that is what he says. So, yes, what Ben Shimon wants us to do is that he wants us only to follow the declaration of the Bible. That is his reputation of me. So, you see to that. But anyway, he was quiet and stating that Ken Torah Hadith. There was a footnote in Bukhari, and it was, where did Bukhari get it from? I didn't have to get it from. Ibn Kathir simply said, oh yeah, that's mentioned in Bukhari. That's all. But notice he didn't write it to you. He didn't write that to you. So my question to you is, why is this one a true hadith? If this was an authentic hadith that could be traced back to Ibn Abbas, why wasn't it placed in the text? Why did it remain as a footnote? Which clearly shows that this is not an authentic view of Ibn Abbas. He quoted Wahab bin Munabbi, where he collected statements from people that I defend Wahab bin Munabbi. I defend him as being the person that did the story as being a loyal person. I'm not knocking his character at all. So it is also stated that he married Israeliot, and he was known as an ex-wife. So he did not refute that. So there was no problem. I pointed out Wahab bin Munabbi got caught in a lot of the Israeli arguments to be among the Jews and Christians, and to narrate a lot of the things that he was saying. But he did not prove tonight why he could be proved with evidence. But you have to understand that the main reason of this debate is what the Quran says about the Bible. I'm going to give you three pieces of evidence. Through a 279, through a 4165, and the acid text in chapter 40, verse 29. He only attempted to address one of them, through a 279, which I will address. On this note, you can all go home, because you must come back and you must refute categorically that the Quran is not meant to refute my questions, as I showed you, that the Quran says that the Bible has been corrupted. Because once it is established in the Bible, and the Quran says the Bible is corrupted, everyone else's opinion is irrelevant, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because the word of Allah is one opinion that contradicts the word of Allah, that is thrown out. And Ben Shimon also performed the teaching of Jesus in his Bible. He didn't even follow his church fathers blindly, no. He takes the teachings of his church fathers back to the Bible to see if it matches with the fact that he accepted. So we do the same thing. Nothing different over there. He takes chapter 2, verse 79. No. You see, you don't understand it. And what he has done tonight is that he has spun his own interpretation. He's given us to what I call the Shimonian interpretation. Basically, you know when I talked about verse 4, he said, well, some of them are illiterate people and they don't know the book. Verse 279 is actually talking about those people. My first response to that is, this is silly. Let me speak to you this first. There are many people who write the book with their own hand. This is not talking about the Torah, but in this one he shows that the book is referring to the Torah. I will quote him in KC chapter, what was that? 42, and we have in chapter 2, verse 18, and indeed we gave Moses the book, referring to the book of God. So yes, this is talking about the Torah, it's talking about God's word. The book does not refer to us to any kind of big-time story from Shimon. You know that. You wrote that in your article that the book is referring to the word of God, and this word says, I said, woe to thee, woe to those who write the books at their own ends and who teach from Allah. You can't copy the apostles, these are people who don't know the book. Now here's how silly this statement is. Beside chapter 2, verse 27. I'm sorry, 78. It says they are unlettered people. They cannot read and write. And they don't know the book. How can you corrupt the book when you don't know how to read and write and when you don't know the book? Can I corrupt a Toronto phone book? I can't corrupt it because I don't know that book. So this verse, the entire passage is just condemnation of the Jews. That they've been doing this, they've been doing that. So this chapter 2, verse 29, is talking about all the Jews. The condemnation, I'm sorry, it's talking about the Jews and a general, warning to all of them. And again, I quote it in 259, a practical example where you change the attitude. This is also quoted inside of the Peter. So yes, your interpretations will not work for them. And then again, I have one common sense question for San Samuel. Why would we reject Stephen Peter? Who would believe? Everybody, Sayyuti, Al-Qawdi, and all the people who said the Bible has been copied in the tafsir of this verse for your interpretation. How did you do that? Did you listen to it? This is my question. I mean, I'm dying to know that. I'm not trying to be mean, but I just want to know what this guy is thinking. You see, not all Jews and Christians were bad. Some were very good. The Quran said so. I agree. Some are good. You see, it doesn't take 50 billion people to corrupt a book. Just a certain amount of people. Just a handful. Or not even that. The Quran said it's Bible and the Quran said it's earnestly. Yeah, it's pretty earnestly. But there's not anything about it being corrupt or not corrupt. Can you tell me how much Jews I have with the Quran's brother? Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I need to be the Quran. Again, I say to you in the Hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's position on the Bible. Did he say that, inside that Hadith, let me quote it real quick. He said, do not verify them nor falsify them, but if you believe in Allah the Apostle, and if it is false, then do not confirm it. That's another Hadith. But he said, but we believe in Allah and whatever is revealed to us, and whatever is revealed to you. You see, we believe in whatever is revealed to you. So that is his position. Do not falsify, do not verify what we tell you from the Torah. You see, we believe in what was revealed to you. So that is his full position on the Torah. He said, in the Torah, there is a claim to the name of Allah. Ahead of the Quran, in the Torah, there is a claim to the name of Allah. That's in the singular. Even if it's in plural, it doesn't matter. We agree. The Bible is the word of God. That's what has been taught. The Quran said in chapter 10, verse 94, judge by what Allah has revealed. Let me pull up that verse right now. It said, where is that? Lost it. Anyways, yeah. Notice how it says, judged by the Apostles. Judged by what Allah has revealed in this book. So how do Christians know what Allah has revealed in this book? You have to use the Quran. And that is what the Quran teaches in chapter 5 to 68. You have nothing until you act according to the Torah, the Injil, and what has not been sent to you from your Lord in the Quran. So they need all three books to act upon and have them back value. Jesus memorized the Torah. Going back to chapter 3, verse 49, what does it say over there? And he will make him, chapter 3, verse 48, and he, Allah, will teach him the book in al-Hikmah. So Allah personally taught Jesus Christ, as it says over there. And over there, in chapter 3, verse 49, Jesus Christ says, I am confirming the Torah before me. I myself am from this Torah. The Torah is the word of God. Sam Shimon has not answered, but he believes in the Bible. Do you believe it is corrupt or uncorrupt? We are giving two different messages here in science on Talk. Yet when you're confronted with other people, you say, it has been corrupt. But it's still pretty peaceful. So, okay, I got 4 minutes left. Now, I want to read all the scriptures in the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about itself. and said, Jeremiah 8:8, how can you say that we are right? We have the God of the Lord, when actually the lion pen of the tribes have handled it nicely. But now, of course, King Shimon has his own personal interpretation of this verse. His interpretation is the exact opposite of what it says. This is an explicit verse which says that you have handled the Bible. You're talking about the correction of the Bible and his interpretation. No, you see, it's not the correction of the Bible. Can you see me, let me know every 32 seconds each minute I have left. I want to finish your point. So, why did he say that? He says, because you see other people talk to you about the Bible. He says, because people think that, in fact, even in Jeremiah, you can follow the Torah. And you have to follow the Torah. Therefore, my interpretation of Jeremiah 8:8 is the exact opposite of it. And it says, that the Bible has been corrupted, so the interpretation is the exact opposite. It really means that the Bible has not been corrupted. So he's found an interpretation which contradicts the verse. Now, Dr. Carl Sagan wrote a Valley Deception, because he's used some stuff dealing with, this type of false argument by many of the Christian missionaries. And here's what he says. He says, spin more than one hypothesis. Don't simply run with the first thing which comes to your mind. And so, let's help St. Shimon out a little bit. And let's find some more interpretations of why other people praise the Bible, even for people who follow the Torah. Here's my first point. Once you point out that there is corruption, that Jeremiah 8 points out that there is corruption, and everything else comes under suspicion of corruption. So when you see people praising the Bible, then in actuality, you could think that's a form of corruption, because it's contradicting Jeremiah 8:8. Or vice versa. Jeremiah 8:8 is wrong, and you'll see people praising the Bible to be their right. So these are some more possibilities. Again, remember Jeremiah was a prophet. Therefore, he would be able to help people follow the Torah and keep them away from the corruption. And on Daniel, he had to prove to him that Daniel read and understood Jeremiah 8:8. And my last point on that is, how many do we have left? And someone give me a marker. The position people take in the Bible doesn't have to give you an explanation on everything, even the sound contradictory. Therefore, you see, I think this is a matter of honesty, and some people want to engage themselves in self-deception. You know, they want to do interpretation. I think people are honestly searching for it. You're going to see in Jeremiah 8:8, it's clearly talking about falsification of scripture, which agrees with the Quran, chapter 2, verse 29. Read both, and you will see that the Bible is incorrupt. Turn over the mic.
Okay, thank you very much, Nadia Ahmed. Will you answer in Islam, please come to the mic for 10 minutes, please. As in Islam, please come to the mic.
Hello? It's actually 15 minutes. So you said 10. It's actually 15 minutes. Okay, you ready? Now, it is kind of interesting to me that Let Us Reason has to mock and ridicule and attack Strawman. And he corrects his misinformation regarding 279. When I said that the book in their hands is not the same book, my point is clear. And in verse 78, it says they did not know the book. And in verse 79, whatever book they wrote cannot be synonymous with the book. I never said that the book doesn't refer to the gospel, but I said that specific context. Furthermore, I even said that even if Let Us Reason's interpretation is correct, that it's speaking of someone corrupting the Bible, if you read in the context, it says only a part of them, not all of them. That means the rest would have a copy of the Bible that they would not tamper. This is especially so when we read 3:1-14, Surah 3:1-99. So his straw man is someone who's not hearing, but it doesn't deal with anything at all. Then he mentions Jeremiah 8:8, and then he tries to attack my response as if I'm living in self-deception. That being an ad hominem, the reason why my interpretation is consistent with Jeremiah comes from Jeremiah himself. This reason fails to reason here that when Jeremiah wrote Jeremiah 8:8, he was a prophet from God receiving revelation. If, let's suppose, Jeremiah 8:8 was referring to Christians, could not the same God that the Spirit of God reveal the original Christ intact and preserve it? You better believe he can. Now, let me quote that section. When Jeremiah's own soul was being burned and destroyed, God put Jeremiah to his writing. Therefore, God was able to preserve the message of Jeremiah. Why couldn't he do the same for the Torah? The last reason, in his haste and zeal to find Bible contradiction, will quote any verse even when he fails to understand the meaning and context. Now here's what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 26. AD, quote the rest of the piece. After the king burned the scroll containing the words that Baruch had written at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, take another scroll and write on it all the words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned up. Here's my question. If God sent Jeremiah rewrite the revelation given to him, then why couldn't God rewrite the form in the repentance with speaking by inspiration? Even according to the Muslims, did not even speak from Israel until the time of Jesus. So let us keep in, your obfuscation doesn't help you here. The fact that Jeremiah is a living prophet, receiving living oracles, the fact that Daniel is a prophet, affirms that they could restore the Torah if it had been corrupted. That's if it was corrupted. And after reading of the contextual meaning refers not to corruption sense, but to misinterpretation by their false writings and commentary, much like you find in Judaism today regarding the Talmud. Then he comes back and he comments on Bukhari's footnote. Well, Bukhari didn't include the main text, it wasn't important. On the contrary, the fact that Bukhari was very stringent and wouldn't accept anything that didn't meet his specifications actually that this statement from Ibn Abbas meant approval. Otherwise, he would not have included it. He would not have supported it. Ibn Kathir wouldn't say that Bukhari comes to him and included it with approval. So again, it seems that the evidence from your own sources refute you, and you're trying to, again, attack straw men, bring up red herrings, and attack me personally, but that's all right. Now, you do me a favor. Quote that source regarding the earliest Muslim view on the biblical text. From Thomas Michael. Do me a favor and quote that for me, for the sake of time, you don't have much time. Quote that for me so I can deal with this issue and see what, again, the early was said. Why don't we follow Ibn Kathir? Why don't we follow in El Qurtubi? Why don't we follow this person and that person? But these people, the early Muslim communists, such as Ali and Tabari, the Zaydi and Qasim ibn Ibrahim, El Hassan ibn Ayyub, despite the concept of Qadis and Manaf, excuse my mispronunciation, to the Christian as well as Jewish scriptures. The later polemicists of the Ashurite school, such as Al-Baqilani and Kazadi, such as Al-Din al-Razi, approach the Bible as basically found in its text, but misinterpreted by the Christians and Jews. So the comment, why do we accept Ibn Kathir and Qurtubi? Again, saying that all Muslims of all times believe the Bible is pure. But the earliest evidence shows that the first Muslims believed in the integrity of Scripture, and some of the greatest minds of Islam also affirmed its actual purity. So now, let's reason. For the life of me, I don't understand, why don't you accept Wahab bin Munabba? Why don't you accept Ibn Abbas? Why don't you accept Al-Baqilani? Why don't you accept Al-Jabari? Why don't you accept Qatar al-Din al-Razi? And their interpretation that the biblical text remained pure and intact. Then he comes back and says, yes, well, Muhammad believed in the Torah like he does. On the contrary, Muhammad believed in the Torah and his instruction as the Prophet of God and never said that it was Torah. In fact, in my presence, you're misquoting from the Hadith. You keep quoting this Hadith. And you say here that this proves that Muhammad rejected the Torah. Now let me show you how letters didn't even read this source carefully. Then Abu Huraira, the people of the book, used to read the Torah in Hebrew and then explain it in Arabic to Muslims. What Muhammad was forbidding wasn't the belief in the Hebrew text, but the Arabic interpretation of Muslims, because that interpretation may be wrong, But it's disgusting about the text. Notice it again. The people of the book used to read the Torah in Hebrew. Again, it presumes that the Torah was available in their possession. And then explain it in Arabic to the Muslims. And so what does Muhammad refer to? Do not believe the people of the book, nor disbelieve them, but say, and on and on. Those who don't say don't believe the Torah in their possession. Don't believe what they say. Why? Because they may be misinterpreting the text, but nothing about the text. So again, this is an obfuscation on your part. You can't even read your own sources carefully. And I need to correct you on that. So again, he says that I didn't answer the objection. Obviously, in my 25-minute opening statement, I need to deal with as many of the issues that I can. So let me deal with some of your other arguments. He talks about Surah 48, verse 29. And that here's a quotation of the gospel that supposedly doesn't exist in our gospel today. On the contrary, can you do me a favor? Go to section 5 of the paper, says some objections answered, and go to note 5, and you'll see I quote Surah 48:29. If you actually go to the commentary by Yusuf Ali, Yusuf Ali says that this is a quotation from the Gospel of Mark. I didn't say that. He said that. So if this Muslim had no problem in identifying this correctly, if that's what you want to call it, as a quotation from the Gospel of Mark, the burden of proof is on you to show that this is not from Mark, that the Gospel has been corrupted. Especially when the text says this, notice the text, the similitude in the Gospel. Now my question to let us reason, what Gospel is the Quran referring to? Because it presumes that this Gospel was available for people to investigate. It doesn't say the similitude that was in the Gospel. The similitude that is in the Gospel, and notice it again, the Gospel is about how the good seed is sown and goes deeply, I'm sorry, even beyond the explanation of the story. Now notice here what Yusuf Ali says. He says that this is from Mark 4, 27 to 28. That's Yusuf Ali. Obviously, he had no problem in admitting that the Gospel of the Quran is available during the time of this so-called recitation of this alleged revealed verse. It's the very Gospel of Mark which contains this parable. Notice what he says. He calls it the Gospel. He doesn't say that which contains part of the Gospel. It is in the Gospel. It's there, and it's Mark 4, 27 to you. So much for your kind of argument. Now, let me go to some of the other statements regarding the Quran on the Bible. Do me a favor, A.D. Go to the first section again, and go to at least page 5 of your notes. After I quote Surah 2:1-21, if you look at the top, you'll see that I quote Surah 6:91-92. If you can find it, A.D., please post it. Here's what it says. Further proof that the Quran presumes uncorrupt gospel was available during the time of Muhammad. Notice this. Surah 6:91-92. All food was lawful. I'm sorry, that's Surah 6:91-92. They measured not God with the true measure when they said, God is not sent down on any mortal. Say, who set down the book that Moses brought as the light and guidance to men? Now notice what it says here. You put it into parchments, revealing them and hiding much. Now notice, the book of Moses is available to these people. They're writing it down. And what are they guilty of? Not corrupting it, but hiding it. And then it goes on to say, and you were taught that you knew not, you and your fathers, and leave them alone, playing their game of plunging. This is the book we have sent down, blessed is confirming that which was before. Not excusing question, but confirming it, then in its truthfulness. Surah 3, 93-94. This is the one right over there, quote that for me. Surah 3, 93-94. All books lawful to the children of Israel, except what Israel made unlawful for itself before the Torah was revealed. Now notice this one. Say, bring the Torah and read it, if you are men of truth. If any after this invent the lie and truth is God, they are indeed transgressors. Now notice, they're supposed to bring the Torah. What Torah? Where is there any indication of sexual corruption? Why does the Quran keep misleading the people into thinking that they have the Torah intact, as opposed to saying, if you are correct in your assertion that they corrupted the scripture? Nowhere does it say that. The passages that you quote are misapplied, contrary to your own assertion. Now do me a favor, A.D. Quote Surah 6, 114 and 115. And I know how he's going to answer this, but I'm prepared with commentaries to silence the misinterpretation. 36, 114, 115 says this. Shall I see? Other than Allah to judge. And Allah, when He it is who has revealed unto you this scripture, will explain. Those to whom we gave the scriptures after time, none that is revealed from thy Lord in truth. So be not thou, O Muhammad, of laborers. Perfected is the word of thy Lord in truth and justice. There is none that can change words into hearers and knowers. The claim made by some Muslims is that the word here doesn't refer to scripture, but to the decrees of Allah. Number one, nothing in the context, in the immediate context, says that the words here refer only to his decrees and not to the previous scriptures or to the Quran itself. Secondly, I have a list of many Muslim commentators who say that the words here either refer to the Quran or to the book in heaven, which means in principle that the words include every single word of Allah, whether in creation or in his books, which means the Bible. And if none can change his words, which means no one can change the Bible. And if he seeks to undermine that, I have the commentary to this misinterpretation. Show us why he doesn't refer to the Bible. Contrary to your assertion. Maybe, do me a favor. Just a couple of pages, because our time is running out. You're going to find Surah 7, 157. Surah 7, 157. This verse presumes that the copies of the Torah and Gospel were available in uncut form. Surah 7, 157. Those who follow the messenger, the prophet who can neither read nor write, whom they will find described in the Torah and the Gospel which they're with them. Can you please explain to the people what Torah and Gospel with them? If you say the Gospel is corrupted, that doesn't answer my question. What is that Gospel? What is the Quran referring to and saying that was with the Jews and Christians? What is that Torah? You keep saying corruption, but you fail to prove it. Please explain and answer me what that Torah and Gospel looked like during the time of your prophet. It was with them. I need an explanation. Now let me give you Ibn Kathir's commentary. This is what it says. This is a description of the Prophet Muhammad in the books of the Prophet. This is a description in the books of the Prophet. What books of the Prophet is Ibn Kathir referring to? If they're quoted, you cannot say these are the books of the Prophet. They cannot be trusted. Now notice what he says. He delivers the victims of his advent to their nations and commanded them to follow him. His descriptions were so apparent in their books as the rabbis and priests well know. So it's still in their books. Imam Ahmed reported that Abu Sakir, Israeli, said the Bedouin man said to him, I bought a milk producing camel to Al-Madina during the lifetime of his messenger. After I sold it, I said to myself, I will meet that man and hear from him. Now notice this, guys. So I passed by him while he was walking between Abu Bakr and Umar, and I followed them until they went by a Jewish man who was reading from an open copy of the Torah. Explain to me what that Torah was, and why doesn't it say that this open copy was corrupted, contrary to your false, erroneous assertion. Now, it's pretty long, but again, for the sake of time, I'm going to give the final two. AD 28, 48, 49 in the next page. 28, 49 in the next page, quickly, my time is up, buddy. Give me a favor, quickly. 28, 49. Muhammad defends the book of Moses of his day. Why would he if it's corrupt? So now he's defending a false book, a corrupt book? Why would he? It would be nonsensical for Muhammad to defend his book if it's corrupted. On the contrary, the fact that he defends it with the Quran shows that he believes in its authenticity and Jesus is Lord. I hope you come up with some better arguments than your ad hominem and straw man. I yield the mic.
Okay, thank you, Anson Islam, Shalom Shalom. That's why I kept on the stage before, it was 15 minutes before I Anson Islam. That was reason, please give me the mic, please, to the problem. Come, give me a woman you ready. Let us read. Give me a woman you ready. Come to the mic, and I'll release the mic for you. Okay, come to the mic. Start your sentence.
Wait, let me ask if my voice can be clear. No, thank you. I really don't know what to say. I pose a very simple question to Saint Germain. And I ask him, do you think you're an idiot? I'm not sincere, I'm not sure, even if you just don't to think the Bible has been corrupted, I think it's to be. So you feel bodily when you have all of this to fear literature. What that means is that this is an early view of what the Muslims believe, that the Bible has been corrupted, and they all keep it. And so they do many references, and so the saints, you can ignore all of that. I have my own personal interpretation, which you will not find in any Christian literature. Not in this case, it's referring to someone's book. Because, and the people, they collected some other book, not the Torah. Because verse is not that some of the people who are illiterate and they don't know the book, they did this. It's actually talking only about those people. Let me ask a question. How can illiterate people collect the books? How can illiterate people who do not read and write collect a book? How can people collect a book which they do not know? So again, Sir Shimon, I really don't understand why you want to accept your own personal concocted interpretation. Let me move to the next point, Jeremiah 8. I think it's very important for us to understand Sam's previous position on this. You see, he is in a win-win situation in his own mind. If you show him in the Quran where he praises the Bible, he talks about the Bible and being the Word of God, defending the Bible, he will jump to the conclusion, it's the Word of God. And if you show him in the Quran where it says, those people who write the book with their own hands, and in verse 42, chapter 2, verse 29, he will say, they're talking about some other book. Okay. So when you get to the Bible and you come to Jeremiah 8:8, how do ye say that we are right and the law of the Lord is with us? Now he is talking about the Torah of the Lord is with us. No, certainly indeed made it. The pen of the scribe has handled it falsely. The lying pen of the scribe has handled it falsely. So when you show function of clear, explicit verse from his own Bible showing that the Bible has been corrupted, he says the Bible has not been corrupted. He means something else. It actually means the Bible has been appeared. And then he says, well, you see, the very people of Jeremiah, he was a prophet, and he could have fixed it up. Sure, I don't disagree with that, he probably could have. But did he say he fixed up the Bible? No, rather, he's criticizing the Jew. How can he say you are wise when you have the Torah? Why don't he say, well, the Torah was corrupted, but now I fixed it all up. So, Sam has literally concocted his own story in his mind. He starts believing it, and he imposes the concocted dream story onto Jeremiah 80. And this is why I say that there are people who tend to engage in self-deception. They cannot handle the truth of what their own books say. Because the punishment is this. And yes, Jeremiah 80, like many other people in the media, he does have self-deception. He has to close shop, and he needs to get a regular 9-to-5 job like everyone else. Let's look at some other points. The Quran is very strict. Why did he include that? I agree, the Quran is very strict. That is why. Because the Hadith of Ibn al-Athwari talks about the Bible being corrupted in the text, and the one which talks about the interpretation of corrupted, he did not place it in the text, he put it in the footnote. And I challenge Sam Shimon on that. Why did he do that? Why did he place the one which corrupted the text inside the Quran? And I believe I read to you this hadith. One, which talks about teaching the interpretation, he didn't put it in the actual text. He put it in the footnote. He talked about something about a Qadri and a Razi. These people never believed the Bible was uncut. In fact, once he was here, chapter 2, verse 79, he will say the Bible as uncut. A Qadri, nobody ever said anything like that. He said, why don't you think we'll have been murdered? Right? You know as well as I do, Sam Shimon, that people have identified him as a person of Israel, and he doesn't deny that. So my question to you is, how can a solemn person marry an Israelite? You know, what does solemn Hadith say is that since he never met the prophet, he was with him, that makes him a Kadhi. that his statements must be independently confirmed by a Sahaba. And now when we come to chapter 4, verse 157, in which it talks about that, you know, in that verse it said that the Christians follow nothing but conjecture or corruption, he didn't even try to even challenge that. I mean, this is the second time I'm checking you on that. Chapter 4, verse 157, you didn't even bother to address and show that this debate is over. There is no more debate because we've already established from the Quran that the Bible, that the Quran is corrupted. And going back to that verse, when you make you forget some things you don't want to speak about it, it says, and those who differ at the crucifixion, therein are full of doubts. They have no sense of knowledge. They follow nothing but conjecture. And conjecture is the same thing as corruption. They follow nothing but corruption. Sam Shalom could not respond to that. Rather, he went on to have the majesty of this and something like that. Let's look at some of the things he said. Now, when it came to the clear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where when the people were narrating the Torah and they were translating it into Arabic, he said, no, you see, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never read a problem with the actual Bible. It was the interpretation of Arabic, the Arabic interpretation which he had a problem with. Whoa, where did you get that from? Let me read to you this verse again. This hadith over here. It said that the people of Allah used to read the Torah in Hebrew and then explain it in Arabic to the Muslims. Allah the Prophet said, do not believe in the people of the book, nor disbelieve in them. Say we believe in Allah and what has been revealed to us. And whatever the original is. What is the problem with the Jewish interpretation? He concocted his own story and he imposed it upon the Hadith. It says nothing like that. And anyway, this silly little story Sam Shimon has concocted, it can be very easily disproved because you see, on another occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told people the same thing. Inside, tell me how many times I need this, please. It says the narrative of Abu Namla, when he was sitting with the apostle of Allah, and a Jew was also with him, the funeral passed by. Muhammad took a Jew, I'm not sure, there's a funeral seat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has more knowledge. And then the Jew said, he speaks. The Prophet said, do the same thing. Do not verify nor falsify him. We believe in Allah and his apostle. Give it false, do not confirm, give it do not falsify. So he gives the same advice inside his team, inside his team. And then common sense can rule the still interpretation of Sam Shimon out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Abdullah bin Salam, who was the most knowledgeable of the Torah. He was the most knowledgeable of the Torah among the Jews and he converted to Islam. And he was a chief man for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's giving like every 30 seconds what time is. The Prophet had him at his disposal. There is no problem of Arabic. Hebrew to Arabic translation means Abdullah bin Salam. And not only that, but he had Salman al-Farsi, the scholar of the Christian scriptures, and Muadzu and so many other people. And you know from the Hadith that the Jews did transfer a fast one about the verses to Abdullah bin Salam Qadi, and to know your book says Tony. So he's silly and he cannot refute the evidence I am presenting to him. So what he does is he literally dreams up false scenarios and stories and he imposes it upon the text. This Hadith talks nothing about, the only problem is the Hebrew to Arabic conversion. There's no basis for that. Let's see what else did he say here. Chapter 48, verse 29. He says, read chapter 4, verse 27 of Mark. It is different. It is not the same. He talks about, in fact, I have a clue. It is for the earth brings forth fruit of herself, the blade in the ear. The blade in the ear is the only thing which lacks, and then full corn of ear, and then the fruit is brought forth immediately, the fruit in the sickle. Because the Quran says nothing of that. We see here that the Bible fails the Quran's passage. We do not find this verse in the Bible. I'm in the Bible at all. Which proves beyond a reasonable shadow that the Bible has been published to a pure and authentic Bible will have this verse just to go on to the incomplete description of such and such as like that. How much time do I have left? I know I'm running out of things here. He's changing the change in words. That is clearly talking about the decree of Allah as we read and sign other sentences that we talk about. In fact, let's see, I'm confused here. But chapter 39, verse 79. 71. They see that the word of truth has been justified against the believer. A book was not born against the disbeliever. It's talking about the decree and the command of Allah. Unfortunately, in all of time, he hasn't told me what he believes about the Bible, etc., and I'm all done.
Okay, good luck, Akhi. Anthony Pham, if you can hear me, please call through 10 minutes.
Okay, hold on. Let me just see if I'm coming in clear. One, and so I can move in a minute. It's probably one of the easiest things. Let me just say, apart from the ad hominems, the last reason wasn't listening to most of my arguments and misunderstanding what I had to say. Let me come back before 167. I guess it was wishful thinking on his part that he thought I didn't have an answer to that. On the contrary, let me get my comments fly through to the Quran and tradition. I appeal to the Quran and tradition as historical documents what the first Muslims believed about the Bible. I don't believe it's inspired. Yet, and the evidence shows that the first Muslims did believe the Bible. Therefore, when the Quran contradicts the Bible, that means that the author of the Quran is false. Not the other way around. You can't assume what you hear. That's because chapter 4, verse 257 says Jesus Christ doesn't mean the Bible is corrupt. It means that the author of the Quran was ignorant about the Bible, and he thought by a spirit he was concerned his message, but little did he realize he exposed himself as a fraud. That's what it proves. Secondly, you keep saying that how could people who couldn't read or write corrupt the Bible? I'm sorry, write the Bible. Again, instead of attacking straw man, understand my point. The word umiyun, even in the Quran, doesn't mean someone illiterate. It means someone who doesn't know the scriptures, doesn't know the books of God. Let me prove it to you. Surah 62, verse 2. He it is who said unto the Gentiles, the word umiyun, a prophet amongst themselves, to recite to them his signs and to purify them, and to teach them the book and the wisdom, although they were before in obvious error. My counsel, let us say, is this. Were all the Arabs illiterate? They couldn't read? They couldn't write? And so what about the signs of Muhammad, the Shaykh ibn Tabit, Abdullah ibn Masud? Clearly, the word in the Yemen means someone who is unlearned as far as scripture is concerned. Which proves my interpretation in Surah 2, 78-79, that those who did not know the Bible, those who did not know the scripture of the gospel, those who are immune, unlearned about the scripture, falsify their own revelation. Your current argument stands missing. Then you come back to the hadith and you said, well, here, Sam Shamoon is spinning his own web and looking at all these ad hominem slurs. It is clear in the text that the author is quoting Muhammad as saying that as far as their Arabic interpretation, their interpretation, you are not to trust. How do I know that? Because I quoted earlier the tradition from Sunan Abu and that when Muhammad saw the Torah, he placed it on a cushion and said, I believe in you, and it is him who revealed you. Is that not clear evidence that Muhammad believed in the inspiration, authority, authenticity, and the segregation of Torah, I don't know what is. So if we take the hadith in context, you are easily refuted and exposed for not knowing your own sources and traditions. Then he comes back and tells you, well, I quoted Ibn Bukhari, who mentioned his tradition in his own text, but he relegated Ibn Abbas's comments on the purity of the text in a footnote. Let me respond to that. In fact, he is posting that text where Muhammad prays the Torah. First of all, this shows that you haven't even understood the hadith that you were posing as if it Ibn Abbas believes the book of corruption. But keep the reading of the wording, and I have it in my paper already responding to you. And you said that I'm spitting words. A keep the reading of the text shows that Ibn Abbas was either referring to Surah 279 or Surah 378. In either case, what Ibn Abbas is speaking about is not corruption to the Bible. But the false book that these Ummiyun, these unlettered, these ignorant people of the Bible pass out this revelation, or if you bring to Surah 378, we'll find that in Surah 378, the verse says that they take the earth by their tongues, and then take it from Allah, exactly the language of Ibn Abbas. If so, that would prove that what Ibn Abbas is saying is that the Jews and Christians are Muslim and handling the Bible falsely. And yet when we take Bukhari's statement in context, it shows that what Ibn Abbas was, although the scriptures remain intact, they're Muslim and what handling it falsely is what is at issue, not the text. And then you try to just brush aside my comment about Wahab bin Munabbah. Let me say it again. I alluded to the fact that Muslims say Wahab bin Munabbah wasn't just a good Muslim. I'm just representing my argument. But that Wahab bin Munabbah was one of those who passed off stories or that passed off literature from the Jews that were unreliable. Not I, but even people who are scholars of the Hadith defend Wahab bin Munabbah as one who authentic tradition. And if you go to that link right there, I link to Islamic Awareness, where they write a full detailed defense from the Muhaddithin, that Wahab was a storyteller, he pushed right literature, contrary to the false assertions that you're saying here in the room. I won't let you get away with it. It is quite clear you had nothing to say of something. You couldn't use the statements in the Quran that said that the Quran was available. You couldn't use the hadith to say Ibn Abbas, Wahab bin Munabbah, Muhammad all presumed the authenticity of the revelation in their position. You couldn't deal with the fact that even the Quran says Jesus confirmed the Torah, and according to the commentary, that Torah was the Torah of Moses that he had in their possession. In fact, give me a favor, I go back to the first section, and quote for me again what the Quran says Jesus did with the Torah. It's chapter 3, verse 48 and 50 of the Quran, the very one that he misinterpreted. You should find it in the third or fourth page of the outline, and says this: "And Allah will teach him the book and wisdom, the Torah and the gospel." Now later on it says that Jesus came to attest the Torah which was what was Jesus confirming and attesting? And you keep talking about Jeremiah 8:8. It's clear in the context of Jeremiah he was not referring to the corruption of the text of the Torah for the reasons I said. Let me repeat because you had no answer to that. Number one, if the Torah was corrupt, why didn't God tell Jeremiah to destroy it? And God tell Jeremiah to write the record that was destroyed, that record given to Jeremiah, with the same God, having rewrite the Torah in its original form? Secondly, other statements by Jeremiah and Daniel and Jeremiah and Jesus himself said that they had copies of the Torah of Moses in their possession. But since you don't believe the Bible and you're misquoting it, let me show you what your book says. Surah 3, 48, 50. It says that he has kept the Torah which was before him. Didn't the Quran realize that Jeremiah the prophet said the Torah's true? If so, how could it be okay that Jesus confirmed the Torah when, according to your misinterpretation of Jeremiah, the Torah was corrupt? Obviously, either the Bible in context or even your own false book affirms that the Torah is corrupted. And here again, let me quote from Jesus here. This is what it says. The Torah is the book that Allah sent down to Musa, son of Imran. The Injil was sent was what Allah sent down to Isa, son of Maryam, peace be upon him. And Esau memorized both books. Let us reason. Please, for the life of me, answer this. What book did Jesus memorize if it wasn't the book of Moses? And did he know it was corrupted? So your misinterpretation of the Bible won't work, and your misinterpretation of your own sources won't work. It's kind of shameful that a Christian needs to teach you not only how to interpret the Bible, but your own Quran and your tradition. And then it goes on to say, if you believe and have come confirming that which was before me of the Torah, approving the Torah and opposing it, what was he opposing? What did he memorize? You failed miserably to deal with this issue. Do me a favor, A.D. Go back to the next page in chapter 289. For that reason, you tried, but you failed, brother. I don't blame you. You don't have the truth. We do. And then you can get through by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, chapter 2, brother, in the next page, A.D. You'll see I have 89. Notice what it says here. 2:89. And when there cometh unto them a scripture from Allah, confirming that in their possession. What did the Quran confirm in their possession? If it wasn't the Quran, and if it wasn't the gospel. Again, since he's such a hero of yours, this is what he says. And when there came to them the Jews of Rome, this Quran from Allah, confirming what is with them, the Torah and the gospel, in Jew, and he goes on to quote, Abu Aliyah said, the Jews used to ask Allah to send Muhammad, so that they would gain victory over the Arab disbelievers. They used to say, oh Allah, send the prophet that we read about in the Torah. Let me give you another two. Since, again, this passed over you, and you weren't able to deal with it, all you could do was post comments, red herrings, and then homonyms, which only shows you have no arguments against what your own book says about my scripture. You need to reject Islam, because on the one hand, it confirms the Bible, God, and the other hand, it contradicts it, which shows that the author wasn't God, but some ignorant person didn't know that he found his own deathbed by affirming the authority of my book. Surah 2, 113, in good favor, A.D. Coulter. The Jews say the Christians are not founded upon anything. And the Christians say the Jews are not founded upon anything. And yet they read the book. What book are they reading? Now do me a favor, A.D. Quote, even a time, his interpretation or his commentary on why this verse was revealed. He says that the Christians and the John and the Jews met, and the people said to the Jews, you have nothing to stand on, and Moses wasn't a prophet, didn't have the Torah. The Jews said, well, you have nothing to stand on, you don't have the gospel. You know, the gospel's false, and Jesus is false. And now notice what it says here. It says, each one reads in his book. Each one reads in his book the confirmation of what he denies. So that the Jews deny Jesus. All they have the Torah. They have what? A corrupted Torah or a Torah? In which God required them by the word of Moses to believe and hold Jesus as true. Well, it's the gospel. Is what Jesus brought in confirmation of Moses and the Torah? He brought in. Anyway, let me summarize. Let us reason. You failed me to believe. You tried. You need to repent and ask Jesus to give you eyes to see and ears to hear because Islam has kept you blind. No book confirms that the Bible is the word of God. If you need to reject the book because it contradicts the word of God, you lost, buddy. Make him smart. Lord Jesus, you represent Amen.
Okay, thank you very much, Sam Shimon. The debate is over now. We've had 25, 15 minutes from both sides. What we will do now is we will go into a question and answer period. Let's all take a 5-minute break. I would ask all the people who just put their hands up to put their hands back down. There will have to be a certain code we'll have to follow here. We'll have to have a one question towards anti-Islam and one question towards let us reason. Okay? So I would like to have all the people put their hands back down, please. Can all the people put their hands back down? Can all the people put their hands back down, please? Okay, hold on. Okay. So we can... We know put your hands up. Put all your hands down, please. Will you please put all your hands down to that face? Put your hands up. Okay. The first Muslim, please put his hand up. Only one Muslim put his hand up, please. Requesting two answers now. Okay, every Quran is up first. Superconductor Muhammad, put your hands down, please. Superconductor Muhammad, put your hands down, please. Superconductor, put your hands down, please. Superconductor, put your hands down, please. Hold on to my doctor's room. Okay, that's in Islam, that's the second hand. Now, I guess this question is towards that is reasoning. Okay, can I have a person who wants to question the reason for putting your hand up? I know this question hand, but I think this is the one that wants to ask answers. See, too many people are putting their hands up. No one's for chance to send some room. That's not going to work with this. I think we have a pretty good line of people who want to ask questions. We're talking about this team of minutes of speech. I'm causing it wrong. You know. Okay. I'll do those 3 seconds. Think you can take the mic and answer with them. There's definitely a challenge, though, to make a 40-minute question answer. Take the mic and answer with them. Let me first say that all questions have to be concerning the topic. All questions towards the debaters must concern the topic. The questions which are being addressed to the debaters must concern the topic. Take a bite back from one of them, answer this one.
Thanks, Joseph. Yeah, I know I took him to school. That's why the group is working. But I need a 5-minute break real quickly. And if we can, because I'm at someone's house, if we can keep it to half an hour of questions, because I'm at someone's house, I'd appreciate that greatly. But if you can give us 5 minutes, I'd appreciate it, please. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. I know there's reason for taking a break, too. So I'm going to take a break. And then both of you guys are ready, you know, put in PM to ask the questions. People are asking who's on the mic. There's nobody on the mic right now. Both Answer in Islam and Let Us Reason took a break for a few minutes. So we'll both come back to the mic in a few minutes and then answer and follow the questions of which you're going to make. It's going to be 40 minutes. 40 minutes question and answer. So those people who have questions to Answer in Islam, get your questions ready. Please, no disrespect. Please, only questions which concern the debate. And then, I'll ask those reason questions. Please respect the debate also. And please only raise questions concerning the debate. So when the two brothers are ready, please come to the mic and see what you can do both of you. And we'll make this on again, inshallah. Thank you for those people just came in the room, Answer Islam and Last Reason. They did a wonderful show, both of them. I did want to pass to both of them for the debate, and they're both taking the 5 minute break here. So bear with us. We will come back for a question and answer, inshallah, in a few minutes. And then everybody will get a chance for a time frame of 40 minutes to ask questions and make comments as they like. One thing I have to say, don't disrespect, please. Don't offend anybody. Show that you truly have faith in your Lord, in your religion, whoever it is, and ask the questions according to the understanding of the character. Okay? And the first thing is related to being ready for both the judges, inshallah.
I'd like to warn some of the people in the room, after 8 times of posting, I'm trying to warn, it's the best religion. It's 9 times, it's the same thing. Could you please refrain from clogging and fogging and flooding the room, please? I think 9-10 times is enough. Thank you. Hang on, guys. Geez. The room's getting out of control. Islamic brother, everybody in the room, 5 minutes is out, that's right. People in the room, please do yourself a favor and everybody else. Some people, their eyes are hurting, maybe watering. Just scrolling with text and posting the same thing over and over again. It's enough. Please, settle down, okay? Whoever's going to come next on the mic, or let us reason, I guess there's 30 minutes of Q&A, so do what we have to do here, but please, people be respectful in the room.
Who is going to take the first affirmative to answer this question? Who's going to take the first? Who will take the first question? And so how are we going to do this? Is Anson Islam ready? Where did Anson Islam go? Okay. Is Anson Islam ready? This is the man who was first M1. I'm just going to give a chance. I'm going to. Okay, Anson Islam is ready. I see his hand up. So, Muhammad bin Bible, take the mic and ask your first question, inshallah.
Okay, let me point out one thing real quick, that all the questions are going to pertain to the topic. You have to go very quickly, 3 minutes per person.
please repeat that again? Last phrase, we didn't hear you, brother. Please come back to the mission, people. We didn't hear you at all.
I'm sorry about that. What I was saying is that let's limit the questions from the response to 3 minutes, and the Krishna asked the question very quickly. They only got 3 minutes, and they have to be fully related to what we talked and discussed tonight.
Okay, can you read that answer as well? Talk about the screen to read that. As Islam, chapter 1, if you agree to what the Bible is just going to be like. Okay, Muhammad in the Bible, your first question, please.
And peace to you all. Actually, my question is to answer Islam. Which one do you have to answer in Islam? So, I have a church of the Bible. The author of the Bible has 2 books.
If I'm going to answer, she got me sick because of them, because my friend he's been sick for responses. And I won't be able to show them what I'm quoting from. Could you title the handle? And all these people asking questions be on web dot if you do for answers. There's so much stuff. But I can't do anything.
Let me jump up here real quickly so we can get this going, okay? This room's getting out of control. Please, everyone, stop standing in the room. Settle down. No more of the standing. Otherwise, everyone's going to get a red dot, and then the people that are going to pose the questions are only going to be able to get a chance to talk. So please, stop standing, stop fretting, okay? Last one. Thank you.
Okay, if that's an agreement, I'm going to go forward. Now, you asked me 2 questions in 3 minutes that you can answer. First of all, as far as the Orthodox, the Protestant, Catholic Bibles, for the most part, the differences lie in the Old Testament scriptures. The differences lie in the Old Testament scriptures. That's perhaps the easiest question to answer. Number one, if you know the exact number of books in the Old Testament are, we need to go to the Jews who have the Old Testament. This is not just my opinion, this is the Bible and the Koran. In fact, J.D., do me a favor. Quote for me, Romans 3, 1-2, see who is entrusted with the books of the Old Testament. So if you want an answer to that question, that is so easy. I've written 2 articles documenting this. Now do me a favor, J.D., quote Romans 3, 1-2. So I can show them. And let me know I'm coming on time, because that was a very easy question. Muhammad, I like your questions. Keep bringing them on, so I can refute them by the grace of God. A.D., Romans 3, 1-2. To whom was entrusted the words of God? And what advantage has the Jew? And what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect, first of all, that they were entrusted the words of God. The Old Testament scriptures was given to them. The Quran agrees. You may say that. Quote Surah to Mike, chapter 5 of the Quran, verse 23, chapter 5, verse 23. You should find it in the paper. Because I went to answer this very easily. And if he quotes it, you're going to see that the book of the Old Testament, the Torah, the Hebrew scriptures, were entrusted to the Jews. That means we need to go to the Jews to see what books did God inspire. And if we do that, you will see that the books that God inspired in the Old Testament were the 39 Old Testament books, excluding the Apocrypha. In fact, the Apocrypha itself says, or the Apocrypha itself says, that these books were not written by prophets. And I'll give you the references. Those of you who write it down, 1 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 46, 9 to 7, and 14:41. It says that these books were written, but there were no prophets. Now, from your own book, Muhammad, it says to them was entrusted the protection of Allah's book. So, if you want to know what books are inspired by God, you need to look to the Jews, you need to look at their history, and you will find. There's 39 Old Testament books, and these other books were added for any apparent reason. So that's why we reject the African Orthodox canon, and we accept the Jewish canon, because this is what the Bible says, and even your Bible says, and even the Apostle says it's not inspired. Now, regarding the Gospel, and you say this is not the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is a false statement. When the Quran mentions the Gospel, it speaks of the Gospel of the Christian possession. If that gospel is the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then that destroys your argument. In fact, let me establish from the Muslim system that that gospel included at least the gospel of John. Can you quote it for me, please? Are you going to stop? The gospel of Jesus was written down by the gospel by John and was the gospel of John. Quote it for me so they can see. I guess my time is up. Go ahead and keep quoting. I yield the mic. Here it goes. Read it, Muhammad. This is from the Iskak. John wrote down the gospel of Jesus, so you are wrong.
If I could respond to that point, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit, hey, Zach, can you hear me? Yeah, first of all, I just want to correct Muhammad in the Bible. The gospel is with them, but it has been corrupted, and it has been changed. Hold on, 1 second. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Can you hear me now? Can you put one if you can hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, you're good. Okay. Okay. Now, let me just say that the gospel is with them, but they corrupted the gospel, which San Shimon did not respond. Inside chapter 4, verse 157, and I've been hammering this, hoping to get some response, and the golden differ therein are full of doubt. They have no such knowledge of talking about the crucifixion. They follow nothing but conjecture, or which is the same thing as corruption. That's all they follow. San Shimon has not responded to that. So I'm asking Sam, if this is not talking about the Bible, what is it talking about? The Toronto's own book? What is it talking about? He did not respond. Again, San Shimon has not responded. What is he telling you about the Bible? And Sam, I can guarantee you, he'll come up to the Bible and he will say yes. The Bible has been corrupted. It hasn't changed, but it's very unreliable still. We know where the errors are, and I played this tape for you. And that's really important, because he's asking the question, if the Bible was corrupt, what do you call the Word of God? Why do you think it has been confirmed? And then you yourself do the same thing, because you hold that the Bible has been corrupted, and you still call it the Word of God. I yield the mic.
Okay, there seems to be a problem here. First of all, there's reasons that we can't hear you. You can't hear at all. It's very quiet. You need to come back. You need to come to the mic. You can't hear at all. Now, there seems to be a problem here on your time rebuttals. Anton Islam does not want to give you a chance to time rebuttal, and I think likely I don't know what's going on. So, Anton Islam, come to the mic and take your case, and after that, we can work from out, inshallah.
Yeah, first of all, it's not I don't want to give him rebuttal period. I heard Let Us Reason say, keep the questions to a minimum and three-minute responses. He didn't tell me there'll be counter-responses. If you want counter-responses, let's go for it. I don't mind. And if that's the case, then I'm fine with it. But you got to set up beforehand the rules of answering questions. Now, my understanding, what he said was, there will be a question and 3-minute response. He didn't say 3 minutes for each speaker. But I don't mind, because that will give me opportunity to expose this straw man and his misrepresentation of my audience. So if you want to do that, let's do it.
Okay, so how are we going to do this? Somebody asks a question. The person who the question is set to answers for 3 minutes. And how long do you two want to agree on a counter rebuttal time? 2 minutes? Or 2 minutes each? Then? Okay, I see two, I see three here. Both of you guys are not agreeing on this. I say somebody comes up, asks a question, the person on who the question is asked to answer the question in 2 minutes, and then if the other debater wants to counter rebuttal, they have 1 minute. How about that? How about that? 2 and 1. Okay? 3 and 2. 2 and 1. I see different numbers here now. Okay, 2 minutes each. Okay, is this 2 minutes each? 2 minutes each. How about that? Can you give me 2 minutes each? 2 minutes each it is. Okay. Next question. 2 minutes of life. Come up.
Oh, hey, and you guys said that you didn't hear me what I said. Can I at least respond to French, man? Oh, what my heart's in the Bible has to be? Can I do that?
Yeah, but we didn't hear what you said exactly. Come and take you 2 minutes on that, bro.
Okay, well, I was asking Sam Shimon, you know, first of all, I'm checking my hidden Bible. Don't hear me. I'm too loud. Oh, well. That's a good thing. The Bible, which Christians have to use, that this is the gospel which the Quran was talking about. But there is conjecture in it, there is corruption in it, and as in fact, Surah chapter 4, verse 22 says, which Sam Shimon has never even addressed in the infirmity, where it says, they followed nothing but conjecture in regards to the crucifixion. And we all know that the Christians follow the Bible. He has not come up and said, no, this is not referring to the Bible. Conjecture is thinking destruction. He has not come up and told us, what did he believe about the Bible? Corrupt or uncorrupt? And I challenged him twice, at least 3 times, I think. And the entire debate, he has not come up and done that. Because I know his answer. He will say the Bible has been corrupted, but it's still in pretty good shape. That's his answer. But if he says the Bible has been corrupted, then he's already responded to most of his objections. What? You believe the Bible has been corrupted? So yet you correct the word of God? You confirm it? Come up to Sam and Nick, you know, clear up the air here. What do you believe about the Bible? Respond to chapter 4, verse 167. Talk about the gospel being corrupted.
Okay, so that's enough. The purpose of life, come up and ask your question, please. Purpose of life, please ask your question. Okay, M. Quran, please jump. Hold on, I'm going to PM now. Use the red dot. Take the red dot. Okay. Take the mic. Purpose.
Yes, thank you. Just coming to this question for answering Islam. Which is, I mean, that when you guys are talking, the different types of, like, I mean, the Catholic, the Protestant, the Orthodox. The Protestant is just only in the 1500s. The whole, I mean, before this, I mean, 14th century, this fellow, I mean, or most of them, they were looking at the Catholics. This is the whole Christianity, coming out of the 15th century, after Jesus, and changing the Bible and removing volumes and saying, oh, now this is the correct Bible. I mean, how do you know which is the holy, what is the holy, I mean, is the Bible considered holy again? The human can remove, I mean, from it anything. I'll leave the mic.
Okay, first of all, I guess you didn't hear my answer, because I said that if you want to know what the Old Testament is, you go to the Jews. I quoted the New Testament and the Quran that agrees that the Old Testament was in the hands of the Jews. They know what the revelation is moving to them. And the reason why Protestants reject the Apocrypha, that was only officially canonized in 1546 AD by the Roman Catholic Church, is because the Jews in the testimony of Christ. Luke 24:44, Jesus here says that what was written about him in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. Go back historically, you'll see that this threefold collection did not include the Apocrypha. So I'm following the Jews before and during the time of Christ, as Christ in your Quran says that I should. Now, first of all, I just want to come back to what Lettuce Friesen said. Lettuce Friesen obviously hasn't heard my response. In my last 10 minutes, I refuted his misinterpretation of 4157. The fact that he doesn't get it is an indication of his ability to understand my argument. And then he says that the gospel has been changed. You still haven't shown it. You need to give me the evidence that has been changed. The evidence that has not been changed. So please do me a favor. Stop quoting me. And then you said, I said, that the Bible's corrupt. I took it all I said in my debate. I said that the Bible and the Quran have come down with variant readings, that no manuscript has come down without any variant readings. But that doesn't undermine the point of the Bible, and yet the Quran has variant readings, which Shabir already admitted in the debate. So that means that your criteria of trash the Quran has been corrupted. Enough of this representation. I'm only going to tell you what's lying about what I said. I yield the mic.
Yes, Tim, you are clearly evading what I challenged you to. First of all, I will challenge you to debate, and I will prove you the Quran is 100% pure. We have no King James version of the Quran. We have no Roman Catholic version of the Quran. But this is the same. Anyway, when you see the verse again, you see the word of death. You see it over here. That's the Christmas, the United States protection. Those who believe it, they follow nothing but conjecture or corruption, and I'm challenging for the first time. What do you believe? If you not talk about the Bible, how can the Bible escape this indictment? And they say, why do you disagree that Jesus is not crucified? They have no such knowledge. They follow nothing but doubt, and they follow the Holy Bible, fam. Yes, you are refusing to address that. You ask the test. The Bible feels you ask the test miserably when you refuse to answer that. So yes, I know that you can't suffer. You see that, and you see that, and I can't speak for you. You can't, oh, no books for Bible from Antiquity does not have corruption in it. That was good to them. That's what should be on me. So you got in. You're debating me. And inshallah, the next Quran debate, I will show you the Quran is 100% the word of Allah.
Okay. Arrows, please excuse Inquan. He was actually in front of you. He lost the hand because he's unbalanced to ask the question. Inquan, take the mic and ask the question, please.
Yeah, I just want to ask one question to Mr. Answering Islam, Sam Simoon. I would need the assistance of his friend, ED 1973. In 1973, can you please quote Surah 2, Ayah 113, the Jews, sorry, in 1973, can you please quote, the Jews have nothing, the Christians say, the Jews have nothing to stand on, and the Christians say, the Jews have nothing to stand on, you need to be studying the book, which is Surah 2, Ayah 113, you can read this now, can you please quote it again for us? AD 1973, can you please quote that again for us? Because I want to ask this answering Islam. When he quotes it, we can see I will ask him questions if I may. I need him to quote it, because when he quoted it, thank you very much. The verse he should quote it, there, it's not, the word there is not book, it's real kitab, book. Now, Mr. Answering Islam, please can you tell us what is the Quran defined as the book, okay, real kitab, not kitab. Thank you very much, sir.
Uh, Well, that's an easy question. I know that your position is you reject the Constitution. If you remember, I quoted Ibn Iskaq, Rasulullah, who said that he's referring to the Torah and the Gospel. That's a Muslim source. If you have a problem with that, keep up with Ibn Iskaq. But when you say Al-Kitab, I'm assuming that you think that Al-Kitab refers to one revelation that includes the Gospel and the Quran within it, and so therefore the Quran is not referring to the Torah and the Gospel. Now this is a Muslim and Muslim debate, because you're claiming one thing and these others, such as Nasir, who's a Salafi, are claiming quite a different thing. They do agree that the Gospel was separate from the Quran. So when it says Al-Kitab, it's not limited to us, the Quran, and all that it includes in the previous scripture. It includes all revelation that was sent down before the time of Muhammad, and these were sent in different sections to different communities. That's why the same Quran speaks to the books that you must believe in. In fact, if you can quote Surah 2, verse 228, you see it says that you're obligated not just to believe the Kitab, you're supposed to believe in the Kutub, all the books, more than one, and that's what the Quran says. So my question to you is, what book are they reading? What are these books that the Quran comes to the end of? And about 457, we have it on tape. But the reason you've been refuted on that one, keep arguing, you're proving nothing. Quote the verse, Surah 2:28. Surah 2:28, chapter 2, verse 2:28. The one I sent you earlier, I believe. So again, I wanted to point so you can see that. You'll see that it's mentioned not just the book, it mentions the books. So when anybody quotes it, it's there. Anyway, I guess when you quote it, you'll see it. I use the mic. Go ahead.
Hi, you might be responding to Shimon. You have the tape, and everyone here has been listening to the debate thing. You never address Surah 5. I'm going to repeat again. I'm going to keep doing it. So you are man enough to come up and admit, yes, the Quran is the Bible has been corrupted. And you are not man enough to do that, so I'm going to read it again to you. It says, in regards to crucifixion, it says, and those who differ therein are full of doubt. They have no certain knowledge. You know they have battle with them, remember. And so there are nothing but conjecture or corruption. And I'm challenging Sam Shimon. Show me this is not talking about the Bible. Show me this is not talking about the Christians. And everyone knows that the Christians are in the Bible. That's where they get the crucifixion from. In the last verse, which is actually, what Sam Shimon has done here during his presentation, unfortunately, I was not able to respond to everything you said. He blasted me with all these type of comments. He said that what you come to say is prove that this is a pure, untaught word of God. He says nothing on the earth. You take time to see the few of them Christians read the scripture. He does not mean that it's uncorrupt. This is an unsilly interpretation. The same God who wrote the Quran, he is complimenting the same God who wrote the Quran to a gentle person. Oh my God, it's the same word of God. The first book of the Quran confirming what has been revealed before. The seven books of the Quran being unfortunately, my time is over. I'm going to come to the rest of it.
My arrows, please take the mic.
Okay, thanks. Excellent job, Anton Islam. My question is to what's S. Reason. S. Reason, you've been claiming at this time that yes, the Quran does mention that at the time of Muhammad, the Jews and the Christians did have the Gospel and the Torah, but it was corrupted. That argument, unfortunately, falls apart when the author of the Quran commands the Jews and the Christians to judge and to behave and to ask what is written in the Gospel. For example, in the Quran, chapter 2, verse 79, it says, "Do you worshippers of me in one place? But rather, do you true teachers of Ben me, since you teach the book, meaning the Gospel, and you study it earnestly?" And more clearly, it says in Surah Al-Nahl, which is Surah 5, verse 26, it's talking to Muhammad, it says, "But why do they, meaning the Jews, come to do for decision when they have the Torah in which all the commandments of God?" How is it that the author of the Quran is saying that the Jews have the Torah, and it is the Quran of God, and at the same time you can claim it is corrupted. You need to answer that.
This is very easy. One way to say that the Bible is 100% pure prophet. There is singular the command of God. We need to hear and see what the command of God was. And the stoning. And even though stoning is mentioned in the Torah, the Jews are still coming to the prophet, said the Lord, and said, Jesus is judgment on them. And the Lord says in the story, you have your Torah, and in your singular is the command of God. Why are you coming to the prophet, son of God? They are serving their culture. And about the Hatsayun, even in spite of corruption, if you read the Bible, you can come out with a Bible saying, oh yeah, there are other gods other than Allah, and there are human gods and stuff like that. Because the Bible, there's so many places that show that Jesus is a human being. That's the point of that. But you're both going to have to attach him on, and he just says, oh, you're a human couple of God. This doesn't prove that it's the unfortunate of God. He's simply pointing to specific truth mentioned in your book, and it's telling you to act upon the truth which is in your book.
Let's get to the next one. Super Conductor, please come to the mic.
Hold on, guys. You want to rob me of my response time? He's quite fair and it's not being fair. Let me shut down his poor and pathetic arguments. He says I didn't want one to support him from it. For what is reason he told me that he suffers with ADD? And I have that email that I saved. It's obvious that he does, because in my last 2 minutes I addressed it. Let me come back to his misquotation of Surah 5:26. He focused on, therein is the command of God. He failed to comment on the fact that it says the Torah they had is the Torah that Jesus confirmed. Not just the commandment, but that's what they confirmed. And then he says, nowhere does the Quran say they wanted to be corrupt. No, they've been corrupt. All the passages you quoted have actually been refuted, but I guess you can't see it, and it's become clear. You're very desperate, brother, but I don't blame you. Now, AD 94, now this is an embarrassment to the Muslims. Now, look at what their God says to Muhammad. And again, I'm going to address 4157 if you give me whatever time I got. AD, go ahead, Surah 1094, buddy. We're running out of time. You got to be quick here. Surah 1094, now notice here what it says. You're going to see that here. If you are in doubt, we'll try it piece by piece, bro. If you are in doubt about the truth that we've revealed to you, ask the people who are reading the book before you, surely the truth has come to your Lord. Now, for the life of me, why would someone want to come to the people and ask them if this is the truth of God, if they're so disappointed? The fact is, the Quran doesn't support it, the early traditions don't. Let us face him, he's blowing a lot of hot air, but I don't blame him. He needs to stay safe.
Okay, thank you, Anthony. Thank you. I didn't mean to bother you this time, please. There has been a question about the time. I thought the time was 40 minutes for question answering. Okay, you only have 30 minutes, so let's see. If you both want to explain the question answers, then you can do it. If not, it will keep you 11 minutes or 12 minutes until you start. Super Conductor, please take the mic.
Okay, I praise the Allah, the Lord of the world, and the Lord of mankind, and the Lord who sent Jesus, the Prophet, and Muhammad, asking for the Allah's peace and blessings to be upon them. I have something for answering Islam. Answering Islam, I think it's time to say something. It's about AD 973. Did you quote it earlier? In aid of answering Islam's debate? Yes. Okay, it's from his side. Now, this is the true God in red that I've been read. I'm just curious why someone as intelligent as Anthony Islam has the most important crucial part of what they just said. And this question is also good. We have the Hakim recorded the statement, and yes, this is the one said. However, if we have, let me just keep it for you. Oh, it doesn't come up, but you can check yourself now. If we have meant the books that are currently in the hands of the people of the book, then we should see that there is no doubt that they also discussed added teachings derived from them. For instance, the editions of these books contain tremendous error, many additions and deletions, and enormous interpretation. Those who think that these translations have sincere contributed most, why are all of these translations? Yes, this is something to consider, but you did not quote completely. My question for you, Sasha, that wasn't the advice, because you didn't quote everything completely. But my question for you today is, from the Bible, from the New International Version of the Bible, the New International Version of the Bible, it says here, the earliest and most reliable manuscripts and other ancient manuscripts do not have John 7:53 to 8:11. This is not my question. My question here is, also, the most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient manuscripts do not have Mark 16:9-20. And this is the book to resurrection and crucifixion. And if you have footnotes, I'll give you a footnote. The text would say, in 57, this 8-4 early manuscript did not have yet. When will we have it? It did not have yet. When will we have it? My question. Do you think that the people at the time of the prophet were holding the English CBD, the NIV, or the RSVP that you are holding now? Do you think that they had in their possession what you have now? That is the question for you. Shall I repeat it? Do you think that they had in their possession, as you said in scripture here, do you think that what they have in their possession, the King James Version, New International Version, Levi's Standard Version, 1953 and 1971, do you honestly think that those people during the time of the prophet had those books walking around with those books? That is interesting. If you can answer that, otherwise you will have to conclude that this is a different version and you only follow that. Thank you very much.
Let me jump in here real quick, Anthony Islam, and I know you can answer. Let's get to the question, okay? There's a lot of people, hands up. Get to the question, and then the answer will follow, okay?
First of all, thank you, and for all the multiple questions and for the ratings. You falsely accuse me of not quoting everything in context. I just left you the link where I actually quote in context and comment on Ibn Kathir. So let me just silence that lie that you're saying that I didn't quote in context. Here it goes from the article which I just linked to, and here it is in full, and I comment on them. The reason why I left the three dots is because, to me, Ibn Kathir's commentary is a desperation. Because he acknowledges that God affirms that the Torah and the Gospel are uncorrupt, but needs to explain it away. Now, you're going to see what I said, so you falsely accuse me, which might let us reason with the fact, truth, and lie. Here's everything from one of my articles on the website, in context, which you accuse me that I have a lot of context. No, in the debate, I was focusing on the relevant issue of Ibn Abbas, Wahab Ibn Munabba, not on Ibn Kathir's misinterpretation of their meaning. So now I need an interpretation of their meaning, even though their meaning is clear. Quote the rest of the lady, because I want to see what she's saying here. And she's accusing me of distorting it. Now here's the part you accuse me of not quoting. This is in my article. Whether God meant the books that are currently in the hands of the people of the book, and we should state that there is no doubt that they altered the distorted attitude related from them. And what's this proof? It's assertion. Listen. For instance, the Arabic versions of these books contain tremendous error. Now notice what he's attacking. The Arabic version, not the Hebrew or the Greek, many, as he says, enormous misinterpretation. Those who under these transitions of incorrect comprehension. Now notice my response to it. You said I was quoting. In fact, you're misinformed. You haven't read the articles. You're not a treason. Here I say, Ibn Kathir disagrees with both Wallace and Abbas, that the previous revelation remained intact. And on what basis does he agree? On the basis that Arabic versions of the Holy Bible show textual tampering in the form of additions and deletions. This is equivalent to someone today, and this answers your second point, claiming that the Quran has been corrupted due to the fact that an English version made by Rashid Khalifa omits Surah 9, 128 and 29. So don't throw stones when you live in glass houses.
Thank you. If I could respond to this, my wife is coming out clear. He said, Jesus confirmed the Torah. But read the entire verse. Why did you just read half the verse? Jesus said that he confirmed the Torah before me. Isn't it before me? So wait a minute. So what is before that? Past the sentence. It's talking about the Torah in its original form. And of course, I went to you today in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Jesus Christ the Torah himself personally. Even if we're talking about the Torah in front of them, no problem. I confirm the Torah is the word of Allah. I confirm the one which is in your hand today, the one which has been corrupted, it has been captured there, and in your book there is truth. Looking for chapter 10, verse 94, he says, if you are in doubt, that's what we have to do, and add to reading the book before you. But he is asking to go to the Jews and the Christians. He quoted half the verse, and he's in the same. Well, you call me a liar. Come on, this is the same nonsense you do inside your article. Read the rest of the verse. It says, verily, the truth of the word has come. I'm sorry, let me read it again. It says, verily, the truth has come to you from your Lord, because God put that message into Jews and Christians every read into chapter 6, verse 1:14. Those unto whom he gave the scripture and the Injil know that it is revealed and you are born in truth. That is what the Lord of God was asking that you have to do and ask Jews and Christians about. People like Salman al-Farsi and people like that. Anyways, in the end, you still have not responded to my question. And I'm going to keep repeating it so you come to realize that you admit, yes, the Quran has said that the New Testament has been corrupted. In regards to crucifixion, it says, anyone who disagrees, we are in full doubt. We have no certain knowledge, even though the Christians have the Bible. We follow nothing but corruption or conviction. Also, by the Bible, the aftertext of the Quran, it said, in the Injil, you are trying to keep us in this deception. You won't find anything like that in the Injil. Chapter 4, verse 27, it doesn't even come close. And I challenge you, read those verses, 429, and read Mark 427.
Okay, thank you very much. Rasul Islam has said that he has no more, he said from the beginning he has no more time in 30 minutes to question and answer. So that would also suggest that we take Adam in peace, we take Adam, and we take Sword of Hate. Just make three questionnaires, and then that would be it. Because then we would loop into Muhammad and Abu again. And we would have all the questions actually filled until, you know, this is again something to ask a question. So Adam in peace, please take the mic.
Okay, one of the questions that I just wanted to bring in within the topic. So I'll ask Rasul Islam, what if you think about a Quran verses 4, chapter 4, verses 171 through 173? He just wants his opinion on those verses. Chapter 4, 171, 173. Since he's so knowledgeable about the Quran, I want him to tell me what do they think about that. Chapter 3, 171 through 173. What do you think about that? What is your interpretation of it? Thank you.
Since Sura 104, 171, 173 is not really relevant to the topic, because 171 speaks about Jesus being a messenger, that's fine, you can ask him accordingly. With that said, let me take a few minutes to crush, let us see these fallacies and lies here, 4:157 and about 4:48. I thought I made it clear in the 10-minute closing statement. 4:157 says nothing about the gospel being corrupted. The assumption is that the Quran is not found. Therefore, if the Quran says the crucifixion is a farce, if the crucifixion is a farce, then the Gospels may be incorrect. On the contrary, since the Quran helps to say that the Gospels are incorrect, that means when the author predicts the Gospel, the author is lying, the author is uninformed, the author is an ignoramus, and the next thing, I'll test you on that one. So that's the response. Because the author of the Quran is a fallible, ignorant person, will be defined by appealing to the Bible as the true word of God, he'd be cutting his own throat because he contradicts us. That's the whole point of the debate. Regarding Surah 48:29, that again backfires against you. Because Surah 48:29 speaks of the availability of that gospel. This shows again that the author of the gospel is again ignorant of the context of the gospel, because he's posting to backfire against you. He shows that the author is a fallible, imperfect human who mixes sources, and he actually repeats the same kind of crowd with major verbal contradictions. As I was coming, I get you to the next and defeat you in that one as well. Jesus is Lord. Hold on. Okay, do I have 2 minutes or 30? How many minutes do I have left to speak? 2 minutes? No, it can't be. Islam's brother, how many questions are up my time here? He says 2 minutes. Actually, no, I'm really at someone's house. We're late over here. Alright? Yeah, go ahead, I yield the mic.
Okay, is there going to be something from this region? I kind of really got on that. I cannot let him ask a question.
Yeah, that's actually very easy to comment on. The Prophet is asking Sam Shalom to comment on. Again, chapter 5, verse 167. That those who disagree in regards to crucifixion may follow nothing but that. And no certain knowledge, knowing very well that the Bible is in the hands of the Christian. They follow nothing but conjecture or tradition. This is no way the Bible can escape this indictment. Tonight, in the cruel season, Sam Shimon is dancing around the question. He knows this is talking about the Bible. He doesn't know tonight either. It's okay. I heard my comments in, I hear the comment, I'm good enough. Chapter 38, verse 49, Sam Shimon. The topic is what the Quran says about the Bible. He says, well, you see, what Allah is doing is he was putting the Injil inside the hands of the Jews and Christians. Do you understand? Where did he get that from? This is what Allah is saying, that it's supposed to be in the Injil. What is the Christian? And we are supposed not to take a look to see if it's there. He says, the very Christian in the Injil is like a seed, a sown seed, which is sent forth its shoot, makes it strong, and then becomes thick, and it comes on its stem, delighting the sower that he may enrage to disbelieve in him. The Benjamin knows this verse does not exist in his Bible. But the last thing is, this is what I see in the Injil, and therefore this is not a conclusion, there is no conclusion that the Bible has to be corrected. You cannot likely lead any other conclusion than this as a test. And in regards to some of the mean-spirited comments he made about Islam, I'm really surprised. If you just had a for a place called Asian Christian Friendship Center, and he very often, I think he's a very friendly guy. I just don't hire anyone out there.
Okay, Adam, I guess you get the last question. I'm sort of hate to come up with the last question because in the loop would have repeated itself to Muhammad in the Bible. Answering Islam, you need 20 minutes to get your question started. Everybody was patient with you. But if you can't extend the questions to, you know, 5 minutes, then it's up to you. There's no problem, you know. That's okay. So, Adam, please come to the mic and ask the question.
Let me just take the mic real quickly. I need to think it's the last question because the topic is Tawaki Town. And I need to speak to Tawaki God about the description of the misinformation and lies of misreason. So I need to make this the last question so I can talk to them, and I need to leave because I am at someone else. I yield to my friend.
Okay,
Adam, you're next. Come on up on my.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Peace to brothers and sisters, the Jewish brothers and sisters, and the Muslim brothers and sisters, and the atheists and the agnostics in this room. I just want to say that answering Islam, you can believe what you want with your semantics. It's all good, all right? And to my brother, Let Us Reason, you've shown some great disposition in your articulate debate skills. It's quite obvious that there are certain attributes to a lot of things that are discussed that are unrefutable. Now, here's my question. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, preaching Islam, show me one religion in God's great earth that respects all three beliefs. Go ahead.
Very easy. Baha'ism. Baha'ism doesn't just respect Jewish prophets and Judaism, Christian Islam, it also respects Hinduism. And Baha'ism do not consider themselves the sect of Islam, they consider themselves new revelations preceding that of Islam. So yes, that's actually a religion that these three religions. So that's an answer to your question, and I just want to finish by saying, Mother Teresa, thank you for giving the opportunity to speak to fallacies and misinformation. This is just round one. Round two, you're going to get your question by the Greek or not. And thank you for allowing this to finish. And I'm going to be posting on the website, and you'll see for yourself a miserably short Let Us Reason came from refuting the truth. Because the Bible is the word of God, the Quran is false, Muhammad is the prophet, and Allah the Quran is not the true God. Victory in Yahweh Elohim, Jesus is Lord, and let us be the same thing about that. Lord bless you, good night.
Well, isn't he such a sweet guy?
The answer is, you have no victory in my friend. You have no victory at all. And you didn't answer my question. No, all
that's actually true, 5-1. Because if I didn't win, you wouldn't jump to the mic and get angry. That's all.
Okay, I want to end this on a good note. You know, I think it's what I think for the people to be, you know, and but for the rest of these people who are hiding out behind their computer screens, Daniel Gino, Silas, and Doc and Jeff, please bring them forward so I can bring them to.
Okay, I don't know what's going on, but can you let Us Reason please bring his submission statement, Muhammad in the Bible? Please no personal attacks, please no emotions, please no affirming to any kind of judgment, please, okay? Let Us Reason come back on the mic, finish what you have to say, and then the debate is over. By the way, if Jonathan Katz is in the room here and being quiet, never mind, it's okay. Come back on the mic, Let Us Reason, please. Please finish your words.
And you gotta admire him for that. But I've seen all the people like Tony Gale, Silas, I'm just extending an invitation, sanctions, and to debate me, and let's take a policy. And inshallah, the next one is going to be on the authenticity of the Quran, whether it is truly 100% truly uncorrupt. And so inshallah, I'd like to invite everyone to that. And so I want to thank everyone for coming, and I will see you later. Bye.
Yeah, that is in Islam. You need to say, and you can say, and you can preach.
Hang on a second.
I don't know what's going on here. The debate is over. So the debate is over. I think Anthony is probably in the room. What is going on now? The debate is over. If you guys want to talk, okay, cool. Let's start jumping in my custom farm into the room. So this is a normal chat room now. This is a normal chat room now. If you guys want to talk to each other, cool. I see a lot of people are admins now. And I don't know why everybody has to admin now in the room, but okay, the bid is over, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Peace to both of you betas. Good job, excellent job. Inshallah, both of you two will debate again on the next topic. If I can, I will admin the debate again. I hope Haki Khan is also good admin, as I saw. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm sorry to give him the mic, my Islamic brother. I want to...